about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
We can still call it off if you're having second thoughts.
There's no going back now, only forward. Testing, Mr. Jarvis, you read me.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
So Flossie, happy 110th birthday. If you do the math, she was born in 1906 on February 18th. Later today, Flossie's family is going to be coming out here to throw you a big birthday party. Are you excited for your party?
Not one bit.
Okay. Cool. No doubt.
We're a lot of learning experiences.
You lost speaking privileges.
And now.
You know, there are a lot of drive time radio shows that I could be listening to right now, but I just want to thank you guys because you guys are perfectly fine. You know? So just keep up the perfectly fine work.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin DeBede Show. It is Tuesday. It's the 23rd of February.
But that's a compliment, right? That's what we learned from Kevin.
Well, yeah. I mean, that was intended to be a compliment. It may not have come out as well as
I thought.
You
guys are perfectly fine. That's the strongest positive I can muster.
It was not a well-crafted compliment.
I think you should stand by it. I'm having trouble deciphering all the online social media chatter. So the X-Files was good, was not good. There was so much being thrown around last night, I couldn't tell who was pissed off and who was thrilled.
I think people were angry, mostly.
Why?
I feel like they
just sad that it's over?
They didn't expect that kind of cliffhanger.
It was total cliffhanger at the end. So if there's only six, then that's a weird thing to do.
Yeah, it's almost like they should have started with that one and built from there.
But isn't it a cliffhanger if you're an X-Files fan? A cliffhanger means, this wasn't a deal where they went in and they decided to wrap everything up so they could finally say goodbye to the franchise forever. This means they've got ideas and they want to keep going.
I hope so.
My whole thing is, calm down, you guys. The ratings, first of all, are insane.
They've been
Fox
very good.
Fox can't wait to get more on the air. Mm-hmm. Not Fox Mulder, Fox the network. But calm down.
But was it not a good episode? Despite the cliffhanger, was it unsatisfying? Did it have too many werewolves?
There were no werewolves. That's the problem.
It wasn't wacky like that, but it was sort of an end of the world scenario that they just sort of felt like threw together.
Yeah.
Right?
Like the last 5 minutes, you were like, oh, this is good. But the 55 minutes leading up, you're like, get to it. Come on.
I see.
Yeah.
And did Mulder trip balls?
No,
not this time. No,
all the good stuff.
Mulder shouldn't be allowed to not be on acid, right?
Agreed.
Agree.
Mushrooms, yeah, agreed.
In a cowboy hat.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I guess it's just a matter of time until we hear what's next, right?
Another
year, probably.
I read Chris Carter talking about the fact that Fox wants more.
Oh yeah,
so that's good. You know.
Okay. All right.
So hopefully you'll be
again network.
It was a weird 6-episode arc. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't cohesive, and it just sort of seemed random.
Right.
One episode to the next. But
how was...
Still love it. I love the show, but...
Agent Monica Reyes making her return last night.
Fantastic.
Was that great?
It was great, but I'd like to suggest that Smoking Man could put his own cigarette in his neck.
If you had the opportunity, though,
do it.
To have Monica Reyes put the cigarette in your neck, you'd do it. I'm just saying.
That's a sentence that hasn't been said.
It was. I was like, oh, gross.
All I know is we need to find William. William holds a lot of the keys to what's going to be next.
He does.
Right. Well, I'm excited to see it. I didn't get a chance to watch it last night, but I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, we do. Spoiler alert.
Yeah. We do have a big show today, but I want to start with this story. Every once in a while, you'll hear about Ralph likes to bring these concert writers sometimes where, you know, Madonna will have a long list of the kinds of candles and food and lighting and ponies and everything else she needs backstage when she's doing concerts. And one of the ones that you see from time to time is this celebrity won't use an existing toilet seat. You have to bring your own toilet seat. It has to be installed and new and in the plastic so that I know I'm the first person to ever use it. We've heard of stories like that before. Well, this even goes beyond that. This is a princess from Thailand. Her name is Maha Chakri Srindhorn, and she is doing a 3-day visit in Cambodia. And she is going to be staying at a resort there in Cambodia, a popular tourist attraction called Yiklam Lake. And her people went ahead of her and built her an outhouse, an 86-square-foot outhouse that is constructed from all modern materials of the very highest qualities. It has air conditioning, interior lighting, and a view of the lake. It cost $40,000.
How many days?
She'll be there for 3 days.
3 days.
It's a $40,000 toilet that her people went ahead of her to build so that she would have a toilet specially constructed for her that only she will be allowed to use while she is there. Workers from the Thai construction firm Siam Cement Group were especially flown in to build the tricked-out toilet facilities. It took 19 days to complete, by the way.
Whoa.
19 days to build an outhouse? Once the princess leaves the area, the toilet itself will be removed, and the room will be left behind and will be converted into an office building for officials who work at the lake.
Wow.
So she's going to have her own toilet that they flew in materials for to build for her that she will use, I don't know, 4 or 5 times probably over the course of that 3 days. And then they'll tear it out and nobody else will ever get to use it again. The Guardian newspaper points out that the restroom, again, costing $40,000, is 66 times the average annual salary in Cambodia.
Wow.
Many people in that country don't have a toilet at all.
Huh.
So I hope she enjoys that. I hope she's comfortable.
Why is she taking it with her when she goes? Doesn't it matter at that point?
Yes, she'll never use it again. Yeah. What does it matter? They say that although the monarch will have only likely used the facilities a few times, normal people can't use a royal toilet, says the construction manager, Mr. Prasat, according to the
Royal toilet, wow.
Yeah. Royal toilet is what's going on. So she's believing
it's a throne,
her
really.
Own. It is a throne. That's true. She's believing her own hype pretty much there, right?
Well, here's the thing.
She must put in work.
Maybe.
She must just straight disrespect the toilet.
Maybe she needs Underwood's it.
A new one built like every 3 days.
I was going to say she's creating jobs, but I think you're right as well. But really,
well
she went to this area and she provided jobs for the people.
No,
that's
she
nice.
Flew in
she
her
flew
people.
Her own people.
Just kidding.
To do the
oh,
job.
She really
Yeah, she's the worst.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So there you go.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Amico, shall we?
What? No, y'all had all that going on.
What?
Hmm?
What did she say?
Again?
She said she didn't know we had all that going on.
Oh, okay.
Sure.
All right.
That's the lovely Niecy Nash, by the way.
On the program today, we have the Bachelor Report. With Ralph and Petros.
What? No, y'all had all that going on.
Got it.
We have What's Up with Florida on the program today.
Yeah, we do.
We talked yesterday about Waze and how they have specialty voices, different mm-hmm. people mm-hmm. that do specialty voices. We're going to explore that a little more today. And we have Nikki Glaser in the studio today.
She's a star.
Can't
she
wait,
is
Rodney.
A star. Yes, she's got a new show called Not Safe with Nikki Glaser. And whew,
yeah.
Whew, we need that lie detector. Have you seen
yes.
the lie detector one?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we need that. Where she brings in
Bunga, Bunga.
Right.
Right. She brings in her friends and lie detects them and then says, do you want to have sex with me? I mean, it's just like...
Good.
That's awesome.
But we also need that guy that did the lie detector because he's excellent.
He gives a thumbs up or thumbs down. We mm-hmm. never see the screen, so yeah. Who knows if he even has a lie detector connected. You know what I mean?
Wouldn't you be disappointed by how few of your people want to, your friends want to have sex with you, though? Wouldn't that be the problem here?
If it's you, no. burn.
I mean.
Yeah, you want some butter for that burn?
I mean everyone, though.
Sick burn.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay.
Shut up.
If I was put in that position, I think I would just say yes to every question about, you want to have sex? Yes. Just, it's awkward,
yeah, just,
but it gets you right past it. You
absolutely.
Tell them the truth.
Yeah.
Most likely, so. And we also have a game for you for K-Rock's World Tour 2016, destination number 5, which is 3-day passes to Coachella, which is sold out. And then you go into the drawing to follow any band at Coachella anywhere they play in the world. You can see them once anywhere they are playing.
Like
that's
it.
Pretty cool. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
That sounds like it's time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat with our friend Ralph Gurman, who steps in on a Tuesday. Hey, Ralph.
Hi.
What's up?
Legos? Legos are up.
Okay.
I have an ass full of Legos, by the way.
You not a fan?
Sounds painful.
Ooh, Gilligan.
Why have you had an
asshole? No, it's just.
Is Olivia a fan?
No. Not particularly.
Just other kids you hang out with?
It's just Legos are everywhere. Like grown-ups playing with Legos. And
no.
Oh, honey.
What?
Oh, honey, child. Oh, please.
Adults?
Jump back.
No, it's a super, super huge geek thing.
Oh, yeah.
There's a whole cult of Lego.
Open up a blog.
Yeah, right?
And all kinds of adult Lego sets that you buy and put together, and then people, grown-ups, suggest what the next Lego set should be, and then other Lego people vote on it, and they go to Lego Fest.
I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, it's everywhere. It's a nightmare.
It's like how, you know, there are adult people who are into those little miniature train sets and things like that. I mean, sometimes something just catches on.
Yeah, now it's Legos.
Legos, yeah.
So much so that the folks at Legoland in Windsor, England, have built a Death Star out of Lego bricks to celebrate Star Wars. It took 500,000 Lego pieces to make. It is 8 feet across, 10 feet tall, and weighs nearly a ton. Everything is awesome.
Every single character related to Star Wars made in life-size Legos over the past 2 months.
There's no coincidence. That connection is very real. Construction took 3 days, and it will be part of a depiction of a scene from A New Hope that will involve 16 Alliance ships, also made of Legos. Just stop it, is what I'm saying. Just stop it. Just stop it. Use that time elsewhere. Go to a soup kitchen.
What do you think the...
that's a good alternative. Response. I like it.
Go get some soup.
What do you think the attraction is for adults to Legos, Rob?
I can't try to crack it. I can't. It's uncrackable.
Just don't get it.
It's incomprehensible to me.
Yeah, that is weird.
Anyway, Legos. They're a thing.
Maybe right? Snapping to things together and seeing that they fit and it's the only thing in life that works for them.
The snapping...
Our longtime friend of the Kevin and Bean Show, Paul Lee. You know Paul, Ralph.
Sure.
Yes.
Right, great artist. Right. He's a big Lego fan. He's an adult Lego fan. He writes in to remind us that it is always Lego and never Legos. He says that's his daylight saving.
Oh, dear, sweet Jesus.
Apparently, you cannot plural Legos.
Please just go Lego. Directly to hell.
Oh, you.
Do not pass go.
Let's talk to Paul on the show and find out what's up with Lego fans.
Paul, take your life.
Yep.
Oh, Paul.
Get some Legos.
Build a sword and fall on it.
And build some sort of scaffolding and then just hang yourself.
Ralph.
He's not a bad guy just because he likes Lego.
Now Bean's going to be doing it.
There we go.
I've learned my lesson. I will say it correctly. Now Bean will be correcting people who say Legos. No, actually, it's Lego.
It's not my fight. It's not my fight.
So if you say 100 Lego, it's no S always?
That's dumb. No,
I have heard that.
Possible?
I have heard that before.
Of course you have.
What's the plural of Legos?
It's Lego.
It's
Lego. Sorry.
There is no plural.
That's impossible.
It's all Lego.
How can that be?
Because
it just is.
No.
Because all my friends say that.
You mean your friend?
No, all my friends say that.
I don't agree.
All the Lego fan I've ever met, they have all said that.
I'd talk to Paul. That'd be fun.
Yeah, let's talk to Paul and find out what's up.
If the conversation ends in a gunshot in the background, right? If we hear the phone drop afterwards, then we'll talk to him.
Paul is up. We have a spot available in 25 minutes. Let's get him on the phone.
All right.
All right.
Let's figure out what's up, and let's figure out if the Star War Death Star is a good thing.
Well, we have to give him time to build his phone.
That's true.
He can't just call. He has to get out the phone kit and then, let me put this piece together here. Click. I'm going to put a button in. Click. I'm already out of time.
It was worth it.
Yep. You want to hear me yell and scream about other things? Friday, Kevin Smith and I, we're coming back to do Hollywood Babylon at the Improv on Melrose. Love to have you come join us.
No!
Had a great show last week. A lot of good times. Rusty Trombone came up. It was good. It was fun.
Oh, my.
Rusty Trombone talk. Some poor man in the audience was confused by the definition, so we set him straight.
So you showed him, right?
Well.
Oh, it's interactive?
That would be illegal.
Right.
In a public forum.
Right.
So I'm going to say no.
All right.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Niecy Nash. We were just talking about Niecy Nash.
Are you kidding me? What are the chances?
She is 46 years
old. I don't know a damn thing about... She's a real housewife, right?
Not even a little bit.
She's a very talented...
She's a very talented and accomplished actress.
She's a professional who's well-trained.
Well, I fell in love with her on Getting On. She was so great.
That HBO show, Getting On?
No, she was funny on that, too. She was really funny on that. But she was just heartbreaking on Getting On. I love her as an actress now.
Yeah. Not a real housewife.
Okay.
Never been.
But of Atlanta...
No.
Nene Leakes.
Maybe Beanie's the Mad Lib the News.
Yeah.
Niecy Nash, who, of course, is a real housewife.
I would have said that. I thought that.
Actor Josh Gad, how much do we love the Gadster?
Zero.
So much.
What? Not even the tiniest little bit.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
We don't even have time for this.
Oh, you know how I feel about Josh Gad. You know how I feel about that bastard.
No sense made.
I love Gad.
Me too.
You do. You're wrong.
So funny. So talented.
Remember The Comedians? That show, it hurt my heart so much when that went away. Him and Billy Crystal really on that show was always hard funny. Damn it.
Right.
And Mel Brooks saying about Josh Gad? It's Josh Grad, right? No, it's Gad. What? You have to have an R in there. If you want to be a star, you have to have an R in your name. Nobody ever wanted to go to see a movie starring Cary Grant. Aziz Ansari is 33 years old today. Emily Blunt. Oh, I love her, too. Also 33. Dakota Fanning is 22. Dakota Fanning is 22 years old.
She was a little kid.
Wow. She used to be a zygote in movies. And now she's 22? That ain't right. Okay. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right. Before we go to our friend Paul on the phone, where's this rage coming from, Ralph? Why do you care so much if adults like Lego?
Because it's stupid, and get it out of my face. If you want to build Legos in secret, that's fine, but don't make it a thing that we all have to live with.
Okay, now you said Legos, but Paul is already...
You know why? Because there's more than one Lego, so they're Legos.
He has already schooled us on that by telling us it's Lego only. That's what started this whole conversation. Paul, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Hey, guys.
Appreciate you being up and listening. So why is it... Let's start with this. Why is it Lego as a plural and not Legos like the good Lord intended?
It's like the word snow. Like you would say, I've got snowflakes, look at the snowballs, but you wouldn't say, look at all the snows on the ground.
Well, no, wait, you don't...
Snow on the ground.
No, because snow flakes are singular, a flake. If a bunch of flakes get together, then it's snow.
Right, you would use snow as an adjective for flakes, but when you use it by itself, the plural of snow is snow. The plural of Lego is Lego.
Well, because snow always comes in plurals. It's never, you don't get a single snowflake ever. You just get snow. It's just, it's a condition.
Well, it's also like deer. The plural of deer is deer. Look, and this is told to me by Europeans who say it that way, and I think it's weird that Americans say Legos.
Hmm.
Well, what do you call a singular Lego?
Lego.
What do you call more than one Lego?
Lego.
Yeah, go to hell.
All right.
That's insane.
Well, one deer.
That's insane.
One deer, what do you call a group of deer? Deer.
It is deer and deer. That is true. All right, let's not get hung up on the plural here.
You brought it up.
Who's hung up?
Apparently,
Paul and his foreigner friends are all hung up on it.
Paul, Ralph came on this morning basically wanting to kill all Lego fans because they're building Death Stars out of little tiny bricks. Tell us a little bit about adult Lego fans. Are there millions of them, or is it just you and your friend Daniel in the basement?
There are millions of them, but wait a minute. You mean the guy who has a whole room dedicated to Batman and Bat Comics and the 66 Bat TV show?
Yes, that's a collection that I have. You know what I don't do? I don't go out and put it in people's faces and say, oh, look at this, how cool am I? It's my little thing. I keep it in my room, and I keep it to myself.
Now, Paul, you're a member of a group in Los Angeles, right?
Yes, I belong to LEGOLA, which is the Lego Users Group, a group of Los Angeles.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, Paul.
There should be an airstrike.
I like that.
Do we have access to a drone with Hellfire missiles?
Guys, let Paul have his friends, and they talk about Legos, and they... Or Lego. I'm sorry, I apologize. And they get together, and maybe... Do you trade Lego? Are there certain Lego that are not...
easy to acquire?
I don't know.
All of that.
So are they like Beanie Babies?
Oh, rare Lego.
See, rare Lego.
See?
Yeah. Yeah. We trade stuff. We share building tips. We show off things we built. I've seen the most amazing things built by adult Lego fans. I think of it as an artistic medium.
Dude.
And Lego is not any different than, say, oil paint.
It's, oh, you know what? Except it's completely different.
All right. Why is it different if he is taking raw materials and mm-hmm. putting them together to create a piece of art? Why is it different, Ralph, than somebody who writes a song or paints a painting?
Yeah, because if you write a song or paint a painting, you're being creative. You're using the medium to create your own invention.
Right.
These guys just, hey, look, I made a Statue of Liberty. Okay, so you made a replica out of something using tiny little bricks that children play with. How proud can you be?
It depends on how good it looks. Right?
Yeah, well, even a great replica, I take a picture. If I want a picture of the Statue of Liberty, I just take a picture. I'm not dedicating my life to them. I spend an hour, days in the basement playing
Paul,
with bricks.
Does it relax you? Is this something maybe Ralph could use?
Not only could he use it, but Ralph, did you know they've just released the Batman
66 set? Yeah, I know. For $300, I can buy a box of plastic bricks that I'm never going to play with.
I'll come over. I'll build it for you. Okay?
Please don't.
Ralph wants to join LEGOLA.
He does. Yeah, Paul, what do you do with all of the Lego things that you make? Do you just set them up in your home, or do you take them on tour? What do you do with them?
We just in January had Bricks LA, which was a Lego convention in the Pasadena Convention Center, and we all get together and show off all our builds. And again, the most amazing builds. Thousands of people turn out to come. Check it out.
It's the only place in LA where there's no STDs. That room.
Carmen.
I'm just saying it's very safe. Paul, if you wanted to have safe sex, go to one of those conventions and pick one of those
Not
guys
Not good,
up.
But safe.
That's right.
Ralph, this will surprise you, but Paul, who is a friend of mine, has a wife.
Yeah, have a wife, B. That doesn't prove anything.
He has a child. Probably adopted, but I mean, he does have a child.
Well, of course, how can he have a beard for his Lego fixation if he doesn't have a child?
Is this hurting you, Paul, or are you cool? Are you all right with this?
Oh, no, I'm totally used to this.
Are you used to it? Do you get made fun of a lot
of
being a Lego fan?
Being...
Well, I don't know how often it comes up.
He belongs to a group called Legola.
Like, in your real life, like, do you have a non-Lego job where you have to keep this on the down low, or is this something that you openly talk about with your coworkers?
Well, here's in the interest of full disclosure, you know I'm a comic book artist, right?
Right, yes. right.
So I actually do comics for the Lego Club magazine. So my day job is all Lego anyways.
Oh, this is perfect.
Let me say the king of Lego fans, by the way, because I do stuff for Lego, but yeah,
Paul is
time,
the king of Lego fans, you guys.
Wow.
We've got the king on the phone.
I didn't realize.
Wow. Take it back. We've got the king.
He is the king.
But to be honest, it's not something I necessarily brag about to people I meet. Like,
why
hey,
not?
You're
the king of Legos.
You don't lead with that, Paul?
Don't you have a Lego crown that you made out of Lego that you put on your head? It's a little plastic crown made of bricks.
It's brick.
Oh, sorry.
Hey, Paul, listen, we're almost out of time. Could you build a Ralph Garman out of Lego? Could
oh,
you,
totally.
With a tiny little leather jacket and a little baseball cap and a permanent frown on his face?
Oh, totally. I could make all of you out of
it. Paul, do it. I'm so excited.
Wow.
Oh, now that it's about Allie, now she's in.
Everything just changed.
Hey, wait a minute. It involves me somehow? Now it's great.
Ralph, are you turning around now that you realize we have the king on the phone?
Now that I didn't
He's
realize
royalty.
We had royalty.
He's royalty. And now it's Lego royalty.
I humbly genuflect in front of the king of Lego.
Well, Paul, I'm glad you emailed. I'm glad we had a chance to learn a little bit more about your hobby. And I hope that's not offensive to refer to it as a hobby, but your
it's
vocation.
A lifestyle, really.
A lifestyle.
Yeah.
All right. But thank you for sharing, and go Lego.
Yeah, Lego, not Legos. Bye.
Comedian Nikki Glaser joins us next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show, and we got a brand new What's Up with Florida for you. That is coming up. You guys use the Waze app to get around town?
I do.
It's very popular. Do you turn the volume on so that you can hear the step-by-step directions, or do you just look at them on the screen?
I turn on the volume so I can hear.
I hate listening to the Waze. I hate it because you're listening to something on the radio or you're listening to music or something like that, and you got someone yapping in your car.
Well, you don't have to turn it on, B.
I don't like it.
Okay, that's fine.
But for those who do, it's a golden time to be alive because there are so many choices you can have on whose voice it is you're listening to give you directions. Ralph did a story just this week about Morgan Freeman now. He's starring in a new film called London Has Fallen. And as part of the promotion for that, they got Morgan Freeman to record directions. Here's a little bit of what that sounds like if you choose his setting on your Waze.
The American people are counting on you to drive. Let's go. In 0.1 miles, turn left. Make a U-turn. Let's keep our enemies guessing. You've arrived. It's been my honor and duty to see you through this mission.
Does he have like the best voice of anyone on Earth,
ever,
by the way? Yes. All right, then I don't know why anyone would ever choose Colonel Sanders from Kentucky Fried Chicken, but maybe this would be Beer Mug's choice because that way he could think about food while he was driving, but here's what that sounds like.
Let's hit the road. Not literally. That would hurt. Turn left, and then turn left. You've reached your destination, but I vote we keep going.
That's the worst ever.
That's terrible, and it's also a little creepy.
Right.
You would drive your car into a lake if you had to listen to that for more than a couple
minutes. Sounds like it'd be in a white panel then.
I don't understand this setting for Waze, but apparently they couldn't afford to get the actual New Kids on the Block or Backstreet Boys, so they call this setting generic boy band.
All set. Let's go. In 0.1 miles... turn right, and then turn right. Keep left.
Nope.
No. I hate that so much.
No, sir. Not for me.
These are not good choices.
It's the worst.
Once you got past Vice President Morgan Freeman, they're not good choices. All right. Now, I haven't heard this clip, but apparently, can you believe this? Apparently, there are now Kevin and or Bean voices that you can choose for Waze.
Oh, dear.
I don't even remember doing this. But apparently there is a setting, for instance, you can hear me give you directions as you're driving around town.
What's that?
Okay, it's time to drive. Make sure to drive your car safely. Did you know that Henry Ford invented the assembly line that allowed people to mass-produce cars? I love that story. In 1.3 miles, make a left. Make sure you say left with the T at the end. A lot of people say left. That bothers me. up ahead, there's a road hazard, some sort of accident. What? Why don't they tell me what's involved in the accident? How many cars are in that accident? What sort of vehicles? There's never enough information. In 3.2 miles, bear left.
Turn this one off.
But be careful, up above, there's a road hazard. I bet it's a tire. You always see tires in roads, or ladders. What's up with ladders in the road? Who invented the rubber tire for cars? Was it Mr. Firestone? Or Mr. Goodrich? Or Mr. Goodyear? I like to ask questions that you don't have the answers to. In 2.6 miles, there's an IHOP on the right. I know you didn't plug that in, but I thought you'd like to know. In 2.6 miles, there's a lovely woman in a car next to you.
Oh, no.
Roll down your window and say, you're pretty.
Oh, no, no. Don't do that.
What's wrong with that? Daddy like you.
Oh, no.
Man.
Yeah.
All right. I thought that guy made a lot of good points.
I'm turning that one right off, and I'm turning on the Kevin.
How welcome to your car. You're now going. You're driving. You should drive now. In 24.16 miles, you should make a right. Left, right. Hold on. Left. I'm pretty sure it's left. Oh, coming up next is a construction zone area, and just go through it. It's so dumb, stupid. Slow down. Go fast. 4.6 miles, you just make a right, and then another right, and then a right, and then make another right. Okay, coming. All right, coming up. Get off the freeway. Get off. No, stay on. Go to the next exit, and stay on. Past that exit too.
What?
In one mile or seven, you'll be at your destination. Hey, it's great news. You're at your destination. Oh, this is the wrong place. That's my bad. That's on me. That's my bad. That was on me. Hey, you wanna go get some mac and cheese?
It's a good choice. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 6:51.
You guys seen that new Comedy Central show, Not Safe, with Nikki Glaser?
Yes.
Yep.
Fearless.
Yeah.
Right?
So funny.
So funny, so fearless. Nikki is here. She'll join us just after 7 on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, Ralph's got to look at the show. Bean on a Tuesday. What's going on?
I like how when we were talking about her segment with the lie detector, Kevin said, I would just say yes to everything. Showing that I don't think Kevin understands how a lie detector works,
yeah.
Because if you say yes, but you mean no, the lie detector would pick up on that.
Yeah.
Kevin thought he was safe if he just said yes to everything he'd be safe. He could beat the lie detector test simply by saying yes to everything.
But isn't he adorable?
Isn't he cute?
We knew what he meant.
Thank you, he thought
in his mind that he was going to avoid the embarrassment of being discovered to be lying, right. Not realizing what you're saying, Ralph, which is all yeses is going to get you some lies, too.
I'll just say yes to everything.
I'm still unclear.
If you don't want to have sex with your friend, but you say, yes, I do want to have sex with you, then the lie detector will show the truth, which is that you don't want to have sex with
We're them. Just going to have to agree to disagree.
No, we're not. This is how it works. This is how a lie detector works.
Kevin.
It doesn't just... It's not a no detector. It's a lie detector.
Difference of opinion. It happens.
Can't beat it just by... No, it's not a difference of opinion. You can't just say yes and somehow skirt it. You can't get around it in that way. Although, I appreciate how much thought and energy you put into the process. It just is not how it works.
It's science.
No, it's not. It's not. It's not science at all.
You've badly misread the situation.
Just say yes.
Taylor Swift is horrible. We know that. That's
Taylor is
if that's we had a lie detector
the
test
best.
On right now. That would show that we're all showing the truth.
What's she up to?
She was the maid of honor at her friend's wedding in Pennsylvania. Longtime friend. Apparently one of her best friends. She was the maid of honor at the wedding. And I thought it was so sweet that mere hours after the ceremony, she was seen in Manhattan having dinner with Lena Dunham from Girls. So she bolted out of the wedding after it was over to go hang out with her celebrity squad. Ah, she's sweet. Isn't she? Isn't she America's sweetheart? Isn't she a doll? She's wonderful.
Ralph,
she's
I saw pictures from the wedding and from the reception, and she was there for all of it. But at some point, it does end.
Bean
has seen
from the
all.
Wedding
well, of
and
course,
the
they have.
Pictures.
She was a bridesmaid.
Well, if there was a picture of her at the reception, she must have stayed for the entire thing. Then you're right.
That's science.
I would just say yes.
I'm saying it's okay to leave at some point at the end of the reception and go off and do something
friend's wedding,
else.
Aren't you hanging out and spending the day, nay, the night, maybe the weekend with her?
Sometimes they leave for their honeymoon.
No,
right. Or their wedding night or something.
Or do you bolt to have dinner in Manhattan with your celebrity friend?
I think there are a lot of assumptions going on in this tirade right now.
I back the assumptions.
You don't know that she did anything untoward.
Hours after she appeared as maid of honor, she was seen in Manhattan having dinner with her girl star friend, Lena Dunham.
So she should have just moved to Pennsylvania and stayed there for life since that's where the wedding was.
Bean doesn't go to weddings,
right.
So he doesn't understand how they work.
Right.
But when you show up at a wedding, you're pretty much committed for the night. You spend the night there with those people.
Sometimes I help clean up.
See? Now, Allie is a good person,
as opposed to
Taylor Swift,
thanks.
Or Tadoff Switler, as we like to call her around here, who is the personification of evil.
That's real talk right there, man.
Thank you. So we need to put her down, right? That's what we're saying? that's finally what we're saying. Vanessa Hudgens, star of Grease Live, apparently is starring in an upcoming pilot for NBC based around superheroes, another superhero show. This one actually is pretty clever. I think it could be fun. It's called Powerless.
It's based on characters from the DC Comics universe, but it is about an insurance claims adjuster who has to go around fulfilling the insurance claims of people whose property gets damaged by fights between superheroes and villains. So they're like an insurance company that cleans up the messes after the superheroes are done.
Okay.
It's a workplace comedy, kind of a sitcom like The Office.
Hmm.
You say, you're like, oh, really? Superman again with Zod? How about leaving a building standing next time? And then you go out there and you go into the field and you pay off the insurance claim.
And this is a 3-minute Funny or Die sketch?
Oh, man. See?
Or this is...
This is how they get
a
you.
A series man. That you're claiming is
this
coming
is
on.
This is how they get you.
Who's they?
You know them.
Oh.
Do we need reissued deluxe editions of all the Go-Go's albums?
Hell yeah, we do.
Listen, I'm a fan. I like the Go-Go's. But I can't think... I don't remember listening to Beauty and the Beat saying, oh, I just wish there was a little bit more production value in this so I could really get the nuance of every note they're playing. I mean, if you've got the album, you've got it, I think.
Ooh.
I know Roddy's excited. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, catalog albums are selling more than new albums now because everybody's streaming the new stuff now. So in terms of things that people are going out and buying, they're buying catalog albums. It's a money grab. They're looking for ways to go back and let's scrape the vaults and let's see if we can find some demo versions, some alternate versions, some live versions, some videos, some pictures and put it out. And maybe people will buy it again.
Oh, my God. Really?
That was a Go-Go song. Was that Scrape the Vault? Was that a euphemism for something else the girls wanted to have?
I got the reissue of the Stone Roses, and they have all the demo versions, and it's amazing.
I think that is the actual value to this. Apparently, there will be bonus tracks and things like that, and B-sides and demos and all kinds of that stuff. So.
They're from Canada.
No, they're not. The Go-Go's are not from Canada. But if you're a Go-Go's fan, if you're a completist, this is exciting for you then.
Oh, that's going to be quite something to check out.
Yep.
Their albums Beauty and the Beat, Vacation, Talk Show, and then a 1990 re-recording of Cool Jerk are among some of the high-profile.
You know, thank God.
I love their version of Cool Jerk.
You're right?
Remember that? It was great.
Yes. Cool Jerk. Boom, 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 boom. Cool
yeah,
Jerk.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah, that's and believe it or not, you can say what you want about Charlie Sheen. But the guy's done some good by going public with his HIV diagnosis. So say researchers at San Diego State University's School of Public Health. They analyzed all the media coverage about HIV in the days after Charlie Sheen's announcement on November the 17th. And they found that media coverage of HIV ranked in the top 1% of all media coverage as compared to the last 7 years. So more people were talking about it in that one time than they had 7 years prior. And they said all the searches that were being recorded on Google searches and other search engines were directly related to public health outcomes, searches for condoms, HIV symptoms, testing. So they're saying that wow. Charlie's announcement actually spurred people into action to either protect themselves or to get themselves tested or to find treatment for HIV. So he actually motivated people to do something positive when it came to the health community.
Well, it is a disease that had certainly been out of the headlines for a while.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
They say the Charlie Sheen effect is similar to what they call the Angelina Jolie effect in 2013 when she made public her battle with breast cancer with her double mastectomy. At that point, breast cancer screenings shot through the roof, research, going to doctors, mammograms, all that kind of stuff. So I guess it does matter when a celebrity comes forward and actually makes themselves available to their audience and recognize something that's a health issue, they actually can do some good.
How about that?
Bean, anything you'd like to say?
I'm the healthiest man alive.
Oh, right.
It's going to be me and Flossie, man. Both of us. Live forever.
Bean, you all right? You okay, buddy?
I'm okay.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Dakota Fanning's 22 years old today. Actress Emily Blunt turns 33. Aziz Ansari, also 33 today. Josh Gad. We love Josh Gad.
Love.
Don't let anybody tell you
Blech.
Differently.
Love.
Blech. 35
love.
Years Blech. Old. He's Olaf, first of all. How can you not love Olaf?
Right?
He loves warm hugs.
Yeah, no.
You're wrong, Bean.
Actress Niecy Nash, who's very talented and lovely in her own right.
On The Real Housewives.
Nope. That's Nene Leakes.
That's Nene Leakes. This is Niecy Nash.
Right.
46
just
years old.
Different pronunciation as well.
I'll just say yes. And Damon John from Shark Tank. Fubu, right?
Yeah.
He's Fubu.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
Man behind Fubu.
Stop saying FUBU. Thanks.
So FUBU.
Stop.
He's Team FUBU.
Right.
He's 47 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
What's up with Florida? Later this hour on the Kevin and Bean Show, plus another chance for you to win tickets to the sold-out Coachella in April and be on the standby boarding list to go see any band on the bill anywhere in the world. That's the best prize we give away all
it's
year.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. Pick your country. I know how we always say there's too much television on and you can't watch it all, but I've got bad news and good news for you guys. The bad news is you're going to have to dump something that you're currently watching, because the good news is an awesome new show is on Comedy Central called Not Safe with Nikki Glaser that we insist you watch. Nikki joins us in studio right now on the
Kevin Show. Oh, guys. That's
how are
so
you?
Nice. I'm great.
Look, it's tough to cut through. You knew this. You put a TV show on the air. You know
yes.
how hard it is to get new eyeballs on a show, because we're all just bulging at the eyeballs to try to keep up with everything.
It was really hard. I find it hard to watch my show.
Right. And it's on late,
I was like, I don't have room for it. But yes, yes, it is hard.
So you're on after what and before what on Comedy Central?
I'm after Tosh.0 and before The Daily Show. Nice little
strong lineup.
Nice little nook.
All right.
Yeah.
That's a strong lineup. All right, how tough was it to get a program on Comedy Central? Is this something you've been trying to get on the air for years, or did it come relatively quickly?
You know, this was a long push. You know, I've been a comic for 12 years, and I had a show on MTV for a couple seasons a few years ago, and Comedy Central is always the dream as a comic to have a show there. It's like it's the coolest place to be for a comedian, and you know, the best comedy shows are on there, in my opinion.
Yeah, you're playing with the big kids on that show.
Yeah, yeah. And then I was doing a lot of appearances on different Comedy Central shows, like Amy Schumer and At Midnight, and they started to become interested in working with me. And so my MTV show ended, and I was thinking about what kind of show I wanted to do, and my boyfriend was like, well, you're one of the biggest pervs I've ever met, so maybe something with that. And I was like, yeah, maybe. And so we put together like a sex show, and that's what it is. And so we pitched it, and they were like, all right, let's do it. And we made a pilot, and then they were like, all right, let's try this out. Let's do 10 episodes. And here we are.
And I know it's Comedy Central, and I know that it's on at night, but you still must have so many conversations about what is acceptable and what you can and can't do on the air.
All the time.
All the time. I mean, your show is on the line. It's not just up to the line. It's on the line.
Yes, it is. It's a constant. We have to, like, call people constantly, being like, is that going to fly? Is this going to fly? Yeah, we had a thing where we were asked, like, we had to... We were taking guys' penis pictures. Can I say D's?
No.
Yeah,
no.
D-pics.
Isn't it weird that you got to say penis and you can't say the other?
Yeah. So penis pictures. Guys send them to girls now, like unsolicited. So we were like, oh, okay, we want to make them look better. Let's make them more stylized. And so we decided to build models around them. So they stuck their penises through these like holes in these like models that we had built.
Right.
And these big stages.
Look,
and
it's my penis at the Eiffel Tower.
Exactly. Exactly. And first of all, they were like, you can't do the Eiffel Tower because of just what happened in Paris. And then we were like, what? And it was just like, but Paris is a beautiful setting. And then we were like, but then another shooting happened. And they were like, okay, now you can do Paris. And so it was just like that, stuff like that. We were like, oh, okay. So like after another shooting, you can just move on to the next one. But, it's stuff like that. It's just, like, crazy things. Like that. But then, like, the blurring on the penises, it's very, you have to, can we say dildos?
Well, if you're going to ask, can we say dildos, you're saying dildos.
Yes. You did already say it.
So yes.
It depends on the words around it, Nikki.
Oh, my God. Okay. So for those things, they cannot be flesh-colored. These are things I learned.
It's too real.
It's too real, okay. And they can't have veins.
Well, I support that.
Support that.
Yeah.
They can't have veins.
I don't want veins.
Yeah, so we have to color them all blue, and they have to be very smooth.
Ooh,
which is what I wish they were,
right?
if they all could look that way.
But haven't you found, as we have, Nikki,
yeah.
that lawyers have great senses of humor?
They love to laugh.
They love it. It's so funny to get back the list of like all the words we said in a show that they had to bleep. And it's just like a list of like F, 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 F. Like if we just like put it on the wall and it's just like a, like curse words all the way down the list. We recently had one of our segments that is airing tonight, actually. What we did was Kyle Kinane, who is the voice of Comedy Central, he's like, coming up on Tosh.0, like that guy.
Yeah.
He and I went to a porn shoot, and we hooked up porn stars Jake Jace, I think his name is, and Luna Starr. We put earpieces in their ears, and then we were in the other room with microphones, and we gave them lines to say during the porn.
And they had to say it?
They didn't have to, but they loved
it.
Because they themselves admitted like they don't know what to say during it because it's just a whole other thing they have to think about, and they really want to concentrate on their performance.
Give me one line that you fed them.
That you can.
Hillary 2016.
Oh, very sexy.
I'm with her.
Yeah. Get out of here, sticky ghost babies. lots of different fun things.
So, Nikki, a broader question. All right,
sure.
So you're on the porn set, and then you're doing the thing with the guys and their penis pictures and stuff. You at all – is there any kind of embarrassment for you? Are you comfortable in those situations, like with these naked people around you? It doesn't bother you? You enjoy it?
You know, I am getting very used to it. I used to have a lot of shame and a lot of embarrassment. I was one of the most shy – insecure people ever.
Really?
When I grew up, like, I was just embarrassed about everything. I just wanted to disappear as a kid. I just was terrified of being made fun of or being in the spotlight, and now I'm like the opposite of that. Like, this show has really made me just want to take every chance and put myself out there. I'm not scared of anything anymore, and I just, it's almost it's to the point where I'm trying to like pull back a little bit and reassess like where my boundaries are, because
I think people are shocked to hear the things that come out of your mouth, because they look at somebody like you who just looks like, you know, for lack of a better term, just a normal person, and they just don't expect you to be so filthy.
Yeah, it's and I'm not trying to like shock. I just don't. That's just how I – that's just where my mind goes. But I do get uncomfortable. Like, when we were taking pictures of men's penises, we found all these guys on Craigslist. We literally just – we solicited guys
what
that were like,
go wrong?
Yeah, exactly. We wanted the real deal. You know, we wanted guys who send penis pictures, and we wanted guys who were interested in like, hey, do you want to make better penis pictures to send out to people who don't really probably want them in the first place that you've been sending them to? And so we got these guys who were just like open about sending them, and they were just wearing all these robes, and I interviewed them, and we were like looking at their old penis pictures, and I was making fun of them.
And this is your job. You have to be thinking, all right, this is what I'm doing
totally.
For work today.
Yes. It's crazy. And like, we had craft service in their area, which was like gross. I was like, can we not have it like by their open penises, like by the chips?
Their penises were open?
Oh, I mean, I
don't like that
picture. God. But it was a very hard day for me that day, because even the writers that were on the shoot with me, we were all kind of traumatized, because they were just, I've never been around so many penises in my life.
Right. That was like five guys just standing around you all day
five
long.
Five guys that were just very open with it, and I had to just get up very close and personal. I wasn't supposed to touch the penises that day, but I had to put on gloves and like
I noticed
manipulate
you put on the gloves.
Them.
Yeah, you're rearranging. Yeah. Right.
I had to, because these guys could not reach around the
diorama.
The diorama that we had set up. I had thought that they would be able to do it, to reach themselves, to manipulate it, to set it up with, because we had put little costumes on them,
right.
But they couldn't
like
reach them. And so I was like, well, I'm going to have to do this myself. And so we had to go get gloves and have me do it, because no one else was going to do it. And I was like, well, this is my job. And I just had to pretend I was a doctor and just go in there and do it.
And is your boyfriend still on board with this show now, even though it was sort of his idea, now that he sees what you're doing on the air?
Yeah, he's executive producer. So, yeah.
Oh, so he's down. He's down. Okay.
He's totally down. He's very cool about it. And, you know, he wasn't like thrilled with that idea, but he, you know, he knows that I'm just in it for the laugh.
I got to tell you, watching that, you don't do that just to be shocking. You do it, and it's funny.
And
yes.
It's funny.
That's
right,
the difference.
Exactly.
Yes.
It's not just gratuitous.
That's the goal. As long as it's funny, I can do whatever I want.
Well, we got to take a quick break here. Nikki Glaser is here. Whew. The show is called Not Safe with Nikki Glaser. It airs Tuesday nights at 10:30 on Comedy Central. So much more to talk about. I mean, Nikki has great guests on her show. Like you had our friend Doug Benson was on with Rod Function last week. They were so funny. Great guests. We got to talk about lie detectors when we come back. We got to talk about your janky feet and so much more with Nikki Glaser right after this on camera. Comedian Nikki Glaser in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, her first one-hour stand-up special premieres on Comedy Central in April. That is just around the corner, but right now you can see her every Tuesday night with her show Not Safe with Nikki Glaser. How did the idea of hooking up your friends and family members to lie detectors come about, Nikki?
That came about because, I've been dating a guy now for about 3 years, and we have always, you know, I have a lot of guy friends just from doing stand-up comedy because it's mostly men in that biz. And, I have all these guy friends, and he's like, you know, just admit that they want to have sex with you. Like, I don't care, but, like, they would if they could. And I'm like, I don't know that that's true. And he's just like, it's not like they are going to do it, but they would if you gave them the chance. And so we've always kind of had that argument. It's not like a constant argument, but when we were thinking of bits to do for the show, that one kind of resonated with me, and I was like, how could we prove it? And then I was like, oh, let's do a lie detector. And then,
so those are your real friends on the show that you ask all those questions?
Yes. Those are a lot of comedians are in that, but then there are also just some like real, true, you know, friends from my life. And then there's another guy in there that was my my personal trainer. He didn't make the cut because we just didn't have room for him, but we like kind of no longer speak because...
Really?
Because he...
Too much honesty?
It wasn't as funny because it got too real because he... It was revealed that... the sex part didn't really play into it, but it was revealed that he... I thought we were, like, really best buds because I would see him more than I saw anyone else. And I thought that we were, like, the greatest friends. And we used to always make fun of this other girl at my gym that he would go train. And then I was like, so you like me better than her, right? And he was like... Yes. And then it was a lie. And I was like, what? And I was like, we make fun of her all the time. And I was like, I go, wait, do you only like, why do you like her? I got him to admit that he likes her better because she pays him more money than me. And so I realized our friendship was just solely based on the fact that I pay him money. And I thought we were like, yeah.
So the lesson learned here is you don't want to hook your friends up to lie detectors because you don't want to know what they say.
Yeah.
But why'd you then take it a step farther and now you're dad?
Yeah, my parents. I hooked my parents up. That'll be in an episode coming up. Because that's what you do for ratings.
your actual parents. And did you ask them, like, which sibling you love more and things like that?
I did ask all of that. My mom, it's so funny. I forget if this even made it, though, but I was like, Mom, do you think Lauren is prettier than me? That's my sister. And she is, by the way. And my mom goes, no. And I it's a lie. And she goes, not today. And I go, oh, you mean not today when I have full hair and makeup and all these lights? And she goes, no, not today. And I go, you haven't seen her today. And she's like, true. So not today. It's like, geez. Okay, thanks for that one.
Nikki, why? I wouldn't even want my parents to know I had this TV show, much left put them on it.
Seriously, it was the dumbest thing I've ever done because I wrote the idea of having them come in was really funny to me because it was like they were in St. Louis and I was in LA writing this with all my writers and we were all laughing at the idea and I'm writing all these questions like, have you guys done butt stuff? And like, have you ever heard me have sex? We were just writing all these questions and we're laughing.
Which are hysterical in the room with
in
the writers.
In the room. And like, I'm trying to make them laugh in writing these and they're trying to make me laugh and we're just like, ha ha ha. And then the questions suddenly show up in front of me when I'm sitting across from my dad. And it is painful to look him
so
in the eyes
different.
And ask him this stuff. And it was really difficult. And then it turns out great, but it was a hard day. And it's been like, it's been kind of, you know, they wanted to see the final edit because they don't want to come off like as perverts. And they have to go back to their community and see people at Deerberg,
sure,
the local shopping market, and they don't want to come off as like, you know, they're having sex romps. I'm like, you have a good sex life, who cares?
So was the butt stuff the thumbs up or thumbs down?
It was inconclusive because first of all, my mom said yes, we have done it. My dad said, but she said it was an accident. And then my dad said,
understandable.
It always is.
Yes. Yeah. My mom said, yes, it was an accident. My dad said, yes, but we had a discussion about it. So I'm like, one of you's lying.
Oh.
And I hope it is dad, because that is not like a discussion. My mom thought it was accidental. That's what the discussion was. The discussion. Uh-oh. Whoops. So,
Nikki,
yeah.
Are you gonna? Is there any danger of running out of sex things to do on the show?
I fear that every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I really don't think so, because it is such. We're so scared of talking about it, and there's always something new that someone is getting off to. I mean, like, I'm learning new stuff every day that people are into.
Yeah, things and you could never imagine existed.
Yes, things that people are like. It's such a deep world of weirdness, and even just and we cover dating too, and like just everything. And I think the second that we feel like we've hit a bottom, we will travel in the other way and get into some other realm. I don't know. The second we feel like we've run out of stuff to do, we'll go in some other direction. So I think that the name Not Safe has not just limited us to sex. It's like we'll go walk on some coals or something.
Gotcha.
with our boobs.
I haven't seen furries yet. Are we going to see furries at some point?
You know, furries, I feel like we're trying to avoid like the typical things that we've already seen on Real Sex. You know, like that was my first foray into all of this stuff. Like, I used to watch Real Sex when I was in high school and just like gobble it up. And like, you know, you just see like weird people in the woods with beards and like paint on their faces, just like doing weird stuff. And like, I'm trying to avoid all those like stereotypical things, like, but furries keep coming up again and again, and I guess they really exist.
Stayed at a hotel where they were having a huge convention.
Yeah, I think we got to do it. I think we got to do it. It's as soon as we get a call from Comedy Central that we get to make more, we'll get into the furry stuff.
All right, and my request is, because it's my obsession, is robot sex. We're going to have sexy robots. Is that a thing you're going to look at too?
Yes. Oh,
okay,
yeah.
Good.
Virtual reality, robot sex. It's all going that way.
That's
so
where I'm headed.
It's we actually, on this episode that we're taping this week, we are having a guest, Jim Jefferies. I don't know if you've
had
him in here.
We love Jim. Yeah.
Yes, I have figured you did. He's wonderful. He just recently, we gave him a toy called the Auto Blow.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
You can imagine what that might be. It is a toy that you stick something in.
And we got it. I think it's self-explanatory.
I want to keep going, if you don't mind.
We can send
Wait, I can't really say that kind of stuff. Okay, so you stick, it doesn't matter. Anyway, so he's going to try that out, and we want to give our guests a lot of things to like experiment with, and then they come on and explain it. So he is going to be trying that out and then telling us about it on the upcoming show. So look forward to that.
That is the perfect person to try out the Auto Blow, by the way.
He That's would do anything for
I feel
us.
Like he might not even show up, because he's going to be so busy with the Auto Blow.
Yeah, he might.
He might need to send a camera to his house.
Yeah, he's going to film it for us, like do like these diaries.
Oh,
I can't wait.
Yes.
Well, the show is so funny, you guys. Don't watch it with your parents, though.
Yeah,
that would be the only advice.
Don't do that.
Don't do that.
It's a good tip.
But it's called Not Safe with Nikki Glaser. You can see Tuesday nights at 10:30 on Comedy Central, but all the previous episodes are available online and on the app, too, right? People can catch up if they want to. And you can follow Nikki on Twitter at Nikki Glaser and at Not Safe Show and NikkiGlaser.com. It's so great to have you in. We really enjoyed it. We love the show.
You.
Come back anytime.
Thanks so much. I had a blast.
Thank you.
Florida, the penis. America.
That is correct, Alec Baldwin. Hit it, Steve.
You goddamn people in Florida! You bunch of bastards!
Florida, Florida, Florida.
What's up with Florida?
You always have the craziest news.
What's up with you?
Florida, Florida, Florida.
What's up with Florida?
Let's all find out what happened now in Florida.
This week's What's Up with Florida really leaves me with more questions than answers. I have so many thoughts on the people in Florida and the decisions that they make. And we start with the St. Johns County Sheriff's Office, who last Wednesday around 5 p.m. responded to a complaint call from the Palencia Burger King. Witnesses there saw a confrontation of a man working at Burger King in an argument with patrons in the restaurant. It turned out he had just been fired. He walked outside, took his Burger King uniform off in the parking lot and set it on fire.
All right.
He's 3 feet from the gas line to the restaurant.
Oh.
You're not going to believe that this story doesn't end with him and everyone in the Burger King getting exploded. The restaurant does not catch fire. That's not how this story is. But why is that your reaction to getting fired, is to go out in the parking lot, strip down to your underwear, and set your uniform on fire?
You're mad that you got fired?
But is that how you respond to being mad, that you're on fire? He left the restaurant.
Sometimes.
He left the restaurant, by the way. Deputies found the man at his home. He started yelling and cussing at the deputy, who was there to question him about the incident at the Burger King. The deputy ended up having to use a taser when the man turned away and attempted to run. He was arrested, charged with disorderly conduct, resisting an officer, and damage to property under $200. I can't imagine that that's the conclusion that you come to. What about this guy, Michael Gilman, 28. He's from DeLand, Florida. Police say he called 911 multiple times on Saturday to talk about random topics such as Hitler and Jews. He has been charged with misuse of the 911 system. He called the 911 number 5 times in 5 hours and was repeatedly told to not call unless it was an emergency.
So he'd call and say, hey, what's up with Hitler?
Yes. <That's-> A DeLand police officer was sent to the man's home on Becca Lane, where he heard that Gilman was still on the line with the dispatcher talking about the war. The officer asked Gilman what he was doing. He said that, hey, I'm talking to your dispatcher because I'm bored. He was arrested and taken to the county jail. I guess there are people who think, I really feel like talking to somebody on the phone, but I don't have any friends or nobody's home or I don't know anybody. Oh, 911, they always answer.
That's really sad.
Here's a guy, and I want you guys to see if you can help me figure out what really happened, because I'm having trouble believing his story. 9:30 p.m. a couple of nights ago, Monroe County Sheriff's Deputy Seth Hopp answers a call about a report of a suspicious vehicle parked near Sombrero Beach. The man, the police officer sent a unit out there, and they found a 1997 Lincoln Continental. All four doors were open, but there was no one near the car and nobody in sight. As the police officers drew close, they started to hear a knocking coming out of the closed trunk.
What?
They opened the trunk, and it was 32-year-old Rob Moore from Marathon, Florida. The police officer said, I opened the trunk, and a male emerged. The man said that after going for a walk on the beach, he couldn't find his keys. He was looking for his keys to the vehicle, and he accidentally fell in the trunk while searching for them. The trunk then closed on top of him. Thoughts?
No.
You're not buying it?
No. He was in there doing something, waiting for someone to find him. And
who locks himself in a car trunk on purpose?
Because he's waiting for someone to find him in a precarious position, and then it turned out to be cops, so he wasn't...
He wanted to flash someone?
He was...
Okay.
And he left all four doors open on his car.
Well, yeah, because then you'd be like, what's going on with this car? I hope everyone's okay.
So you think
someone's in the trunk.
You think he was trying to prank a passerby? Like, he was trying to... He thought it would be funny for somebody else to come along, just some random human would come along, and he would yell out, they would open the trunk, and he would jump out and yell surprise?
I don't think he would yell surprise. I think he would...
Show surprise.
Show surprise, mm-hmm. If you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So it doesn't say he was naked, though.
Well, because it was cops, so he was like, I could get in trouble.
Police, by the way, did find a pill bottle containing marijuana in the car, a first-degree misdemeanor in Florida, and he was arrested for that, by the way, and charged with that. The man's mother arrived and drove him home.
Great.
In the car. So,
what do you think, Kevin? What was he doing?
I believe him. I don't think he's going to sit there and lock himself in the trunk and hope that somebody's going to show up.
But who? Who is...
Because you would do that, is what I'm saying.
No, but I'm saying... How do you fall into a trunk looking for your keys? Why did he think his keys were in the trunk?
I don't know, but the four doors open supports that theory. It does make sense. Maybe he was looking for the keys.
It's very strange. It's very strange.
I believe him.
How long before he locked himself in the trunk had he been fired from Burger King? That's my question, by the way. And finally, Kevin, and this is a story that's going to be, I think, especially enjoyable for you. Unfortunately, it does involve Linda Marie Smith, 59, who was found dead in a motel room, the Budget 6 Motel in Northport, she was found. In addition to her body, by the way, two live monkeys were found in the hotel room.
Okay.
Shortly after 1:30 p.m., police announced they were investigating suspicious death. About an hour later, the city announced the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission had received two capuchin monkeys from the room. The primates were taken out of the hotel room. A man was also found in the room. He was incoherent and received medical attention. Investigators intend to question him further. What do you think was going on in that hotel room? Why was there an incoherent man, a dead woman, and two live monkeys running around in the room? Look, I'm telling you, Florida is the craziest place on earth. I may need to move there full time just so I can investigate these stories because there's never enough information. What's going on with the dead lady and the two live monkeys?
That's a great question.
That is not a weekend. That's why I'm asking. What's up with Florida?
Florida, Florida, Florida. What's up with Florida?
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5 minutes till 8.
Does a mother of one of the contestants on The Bachelor drink wine or champagne directly from the bottle? Does that happen on last night's show?
Yes. Let me take that joke.
That's not a joke. That's just a recap of something that happened on the show. Is that what we're going to be hearing about in The Bachelor Report?
Part of the recap that we don't need to worry about.
Well, we still need to talk about it because if that happened, that's insane.
That's good. That's good.
Petrus and Ralph have The Bachelor Report because it is Rain and Ben.
It's Rain and Ben. Hallelujah. It's Rain and Ben. Amen.
First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Nothing helps the impact of a joke when they've been saying it early. It's good stuff.
I didn't tell a joke. I just asked if that's a thing that happened because I heard Kevin say earlier that's a thing that happened on the show.
But Kevin said it off the air.
I'd like to thank... Casey and her boyfriend for coming to Hollywood Babylon on Friday. That was awesome to see them. Thanks so much, Casey, for coming out. She's our censor. She puts her finger on the button. So I just want to say thank you so much for coming out to the show.
Well, it's nice to get support from your coworkers.
It is. It's two out of 11, I think, so far over 5.5 years.
Again, I'm
so
going to Boston.
You're not going to
you
Boston.
With the Wilbur. Front row. Can't wait.
It's easier same. Just to go to the improv on Melrose Friday night, 10 p.m. Kevin Smith and I doing Hollywood Babylon.
Go
to
no.
Improv. Improv.com for tickets. No. Casey's boyfriend gave us a rave review, by the way. He said it was one of the better talking events he's ever been to. So... not really sure how to take that, but I think it's a positive. I'm going to take that as a positive.
I feel like he meant that as a compliment.
I think so.
Yeah.
He said we were perfectly fine, basically.
Genius.
So we're very, very happy about that. Finally, Spike TV has found a way to make Lip Sync Battle even less entertaining. I was wondering if they had the folks in the lab working on that, and they've come up with something. The new spinoff, Lip Sync Battle Junior, where kids will be lip-syncing to songs that they're not really singing, and we'll get to see kids go up against each other, and they'll move their mouth while the actual song is going on.
Then another kid will go,
"Boo!"
I don't think
is LL Cool J hosting this one, too?
Fight.
Does not say who the host will be, but, you know, we can hope.
I saw a promo last night, Ralph, for a talent show, an America's Got Talent kind of show, starring Steve Harvey as the host, with little kids doing their talent, their singing and dancing, little kids.
America's Got Talent Junior?
Something like that, yeah. Are we interested in seeing talented little kids
on
our television?
Here's the thing. Lip syncing is something I think is funny to do when I'm at a party with my friends and I'm drunk.
You have to be drunk. Mm-hmm. Same.
Lip Sync Battle, the television program,
yeah,
where people dress up and then lip sync. Not, in my opinion, a television show.
But little drunk kids? That's a step.
I don't think the kids are going to be getting drunk at all. But the reason I bring it up is because Lip Sync Battle is Spike TV's most watched show, bringing in, wait for it, more than 4 million viewers per week.
Yeah!
Really?
The show's already been renewed for a third season.
Wow.
So apparently my tastes are, once again, meaningless. Because America loves to watch Channing Tatum's wife pretend to sing Village People songs. Or whatever it is that happens on that show. But good for them.
So if you were running Hollywood and somebody had come to you and said, Ralph, I'm Mr. Garman, I got a show idea for you. Channing Tatum's wife is going to lip sync to a Village People song. You would have not given that a red light?
And I would have been out 4 million viewers. That's right. So that's why they took away my keys to Hollywood.
It's a shame.
I don't drive Hollywood any longer. Jessica Perret, speaking of television.
Take it easy.
She's Mrs. Don Draper, right?
You may remember her as Don Draper's wife from Mad Men, yes. She has got a new TV series with Amazon coming out. It's called The Interestings. The Interestings.
Is that, like, the final name?
I believe so.
Placeholder?
It's about a group of friends who met at arts camp when they were just teenagers in 1974, and then they stayed in touch for the next 30 years. So I'm guessing there's a lot of boning. I'm just glad to see her back on television. As I am Elizabeth Perkins and Kevin Nealon. Remember them from Weeds?
Sure.
Yes. They are joined together once again for an upcoming NBC comedy called Dumb Prince. Which, oddly enough, is what we call Kevin
How
here
dare
on the
you.
Show. It's about a prince who returns home from America to his country, which is famous for making mopeds.
Okay.
Can you read that sentence again, please?
Is that you heard me?
Is that the end?
I don't think I did.
And he's being groomed to take over the country by his mom and dad, Kevin Nealon and Elizabeth Perkins, who are the king and queen of Modaria, is the name of the fictional country. And he's a dumb prince. So they have to try to get him ready to take over. It's a country makes mopeds.
Okay.
We're in a golden age of television right now. We've got Lip Sync Battle Jr. and the Moped Family.
I would like to see a list of the shows that are not getting to series, by the way. These are the ones that are making it.
You and me both, brother. All right, let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Damon John. FUBU. If I'm not mistaken, he's from FUBU.
I heard that earlier.
You are right.
FUBU.
Yeah.
He's all about FUBU.
Stop
right.
It,
he's
please.
Team FUBU.
Stop
saying he's
FUBU.
The brains behind FUBU.
Right. He's great on that show, too.
He is great. He's FUBU-tastic.
What does FUBU stand for?
I know the answer to that one.
I believe it's
effed up beyond.
Nope.
No.
No, that'd be FUBAR. Yeah.
It's for us by us.
Oh, that's delightful.
For us by us. Us being, of course, people who love sporting goods.
Sure.
Sportswear.
Or the blacks. Sure. One of the two.
Oh, dear Lord.
Racist.
I enjoyed this job so much while
that's what FUBU, that's what it means.
Niecy Nash is 46 years old today. Josh Gad, who we love, by the way, universally here on the Kevin and Bean program, is 35 years old.
Love that included.
Aziz Ansari's 33. Emily Blunt is also 33. Dakota Fanning's 22 years old today. Hard to believe.
I don't believe it.
Little Dakota's grown up right in front of our eyes. And I just got this late-breaking bulletin. L.A. Lakers point guard D'Angelo Russell celebrates his 20th birthday today. He's 20.
Yeah.
He's a talented kid. They should let him play. Suddenly, if that old guy get gifts everywhere that they're doing. The old man gift parade, whatever that's currently going on with the team. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Flashback weekend.
Sit down.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Tuesday morning, just after 8 o'clock. It's the best goddamn time of the week because it's time for the Bachelor Report. Hit it, Steve.
It's time. We got the Big P and Garman, and they watch The Bachelor, so you don't have to, man. Girls drinking hallelujah.
Woo!
Girls crying hallelujah.
Woo!
Girls crazy hallelujah.
Woo!
The Bachelor Report, we're going to give it to you.
Our friend Petros Papadakis from the Petros and Money radio show on AM 570 LA Sports joins his friend Ralph Garman every week at this time for the Bachelor Report. Hey, P, welcome to the program, my friend.
Hello, everybody. What a great episode last night.
Right?
Man, it's only been a few months, and here we are at the hometown.
Oh, Final Four. Nothing could be more exciting.
Wait, did you like it?
Look, there's nothing like it. It's one thing to get these good-looking 20-something-year-old people who find themselves to be attractive and self-important on television throughout a season. It's a whole other thing to get their poor, unsuspecting, idiot families involved with the cameras to really exploit them. And let's exploit a few children that can't speak for themselves. Let's do that while we're at it.
You're, of course, talking about Amanda, the beautiful Amanda, who lives down there in Rancho Santa Margarita, and she has two little girls, two adorable little girls, 3 and 1. And because it was hometown night, Ben had to be introduced to her daughters. Look, if you're going to find out if you're going to marry someone, you have to meet their kids because you're going to become an instant dad.
Well, he was never going to marry the girl
How
with the two kids.
Dare
well.
You? How dare you, P? He loved her.
A ploy.
She loved him. He loved her. And they had to find out if that premise was going to work of an instant family. They had to have some interaction. I mean, it's a no-win situation. If you don't introduce him to the kids, how are you going to know how the kids are going to get along with him?
Let's have him read a bedtime story to the kids awkwardly for the one and only time he's ever going to meet him.
That didn't happen.
He did. He read a bedtime story to him.
No. Allie, it was all about a man and a woman who met in law once upon a time.
No.
There was a reality show with a host that had the hands of an insect.
That wasn't the case at all. He said there was a man named Ben who met a woman named Mommy in a city called Los Angeles, and magic happened. Sparks happened. They had a great day at the beach, P. They were running around making sandcastles. But then, as so happens in real life, in real parenthood, the drive home from the beach happened. And I think this is where Ben started to get second thoughts. Yeah, nothing like being stuck in an SUV with a screaming kid for a couple hours to take the sheen off a new relationship. And
I have a 1-year-old and a 3-year-old.
Right.
I mean, my kids are exactly that age.
Yes.
I would not wish that. Somebody, hey, welcome to the relationship. Let's plan a wedding. By the way, let's do this, too. My God.
Yeah, you could see it on his face at that moment that the deal was off.
His face got whiter than Casper the Ghost. But he should have just ditched her at that point.
He should have, but I think maybe he thought maybe he had to see how the other relationship was the first hometown date. He wanted to see how the other relationships were progressing.
Ugh.
And he went on to Portland. Weird Portland to spend some time with Lauren B., who I decided last night may be the perfect woman.
Yeah, but you know what? Bad deal. Not the hottest of the sisters.
Yeah.
Ollie, the sister was hotter.
See, I was thinking that, too. What happens when you go to the hometown date to meet the family and the sister is way hotter than the girl you've been dating?
Yeah, and she's got her goods out. You know, that sister looked like she wanted to breastfeed some of the people on that beautiful Willamette River.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Molly was looking
good.
She had
one of those special bras on with the hat. She wanted to nurse.
Molly was looking good. But Lauren scored points, in my opinion, when she took Ben to a whiskey library, which is... just a room full of shelves and shelves and shelves of every possible whiskey you could have found.
Nice.
And
all right.
And this was her idea of a date. And I said, wow, it's pretty strong. Let's hear more.
We walk into this whiskey library, and it's so romantic. And I could sit in a room with Ben and not speak a word and feel more fulfilled and more content than in any other situation I've ever felt in my entire life.
Hold on. A woman's going to take me to a room filled with whiskey and not talk to me? She's the perfect woman, P.
Ralph, well, she said library.
She called it a library.
She said library.
She didn't say library.
But when we get there, she's not going to be talking, so it doesn't matter anyway.
Oh,
I'm going to be drinking.
What could she have about all those hardbound leather books in the library?
I'm going to be sampling whiskeys while she's sitting quietly in the corner. It's the perfect date.
The sister was hot.
She was. Molly was hot. Then
the dad
on.
Dad was a little creepy. All the dads, every single dad was a creep.
How about Kayla's dad? He looked sweaty and oily and strange. And...
Hey, I'm sweaty and oily and strange.
That's true. But he owns a toy factory.
All right, you're right. He was kind of creepy.
It's like meeting Willy Wonka with some sort of restraining order against him, against kids.
His eyes were really close, like Blake Griffin.
Yes, like almost crossed. And Kayla doesn't have much of a background in her hometown where she brought him to, so she did the best she could by taking him to that one special place in her heart.
I feel like I've always watched couples come to this bench, and I always dreamed about taking someone special here one day. You're the first person that I thought is worthy of the bench.
I'd like to join you on this bench.
Isn't it cute?
This is great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bench. We're on a bench together. I'd love to join you on this bench. Isn't this great? Yeah, I love your bench.
I found her date to be even more contrived than the others.
Really?
They go to a toy factory and build a stupid house and then make out of the house. And then they reenacted the scene from An Officer and a Gentleman, which almost nobody watching saw.
I said that to my wife. I said, they are reenacting a scene from a movie that nobody in this audience remembers. And she said, I've never seen Officer and a Gentleman. I said, proof positive. And then, of course, JoJo, my beloved JoJo, Team JoJo. You know, I've always been Team JoJo all season long.
Yeah, she's your girl.
Because she has a delicious taco. Let's not forget that from earlier in the season.
Not only that, but the toilet doesn't look bad either, if you know what I'm saying.
She's built for speed, I'll tell you.
You know how romantic I can be.
Did you just call it a toilet?
Yeah, he did.
Like, hey, Allie, she might have a 5 to 7 meter broad jump.
So JoJo's getting ready for a date, and she finds roses at the door with a little note in it. What could be more romantic? Until it finds turns out it's not from Ben. Those
what?
Flowers aren't from Ben.
Wait. No. No. This letter's not from Ben. I don't want to read this. It's from my ex. I'm not reading that. That's not what I want to read.
Chad!
Oh, it's
freaking
on.
Freaking Chad rears his
freaking
ugly
Chad.
Head again. Chad.
Now, JoJo's whole story is that she was somebody's side piece. Was she Chad's side piece?
I believe so.
And now Chad's seen the error of his ways because JoJo's on The Bachelor?
And Chad wants her back.
Ah.
But she says, no, Chad. She leaves.
I like how she stood up and started waving the paper around like yes. It was going to somehow fight the letter.
She threw it away, and she called Chad up and said no. She left Chad hanging, if you will. He was a hanging Chad by the end of the episode.
Oh, man.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And then Ben gets to meet JoJo's family, including her mom, who just is, could not be sweeter, but seems to be, I don't know, confused about the premise of the television program her daughter's on. I don't think she really understands how it all works. Because she meets Ben, and he's like, he's great. Why don't you just go with Ben? You just start dating him. And things have to be explained to her.
I just don't want to get hurt. You're not going to get hurt, you beautiful. I know, but I'm just like, it's so hard for me. I didn't know if I was going to be able to, like, open myself up again after my last relationship.
But you did. And he was right by next to you, right?
Yeah, Mom, I'm just, it's like, it's hard. It's scary. There's, you know, there's 3 other girls still involved.
Oh.
Yes!
Oh.
That's how it works?
Oh, that's very different. That's a whole different situation.
In the final four, there are 3 other girls involved?
Oh, I had no idea.
It's not the only hometown date. Poor Mom.
Yeah.
But that was one of the more interesting, I mean, this, usually the families are boring and there's nothing there. But this was maybe the most interesting family in Bachelor or Bachelorette history. The dad looked like a mini Sergeant Slaughter.
Yes.
The mom, let's be honest, looks like she tips the bottle a little bit.
A lot.
Literally.
Well, yes.
And then the 2 brothers are like evil.
They were so mean.
What about the Shaw chunky knit sweater brother? No undershirt.
Yeah. Beefy Bro was really, he was giving him the death stare.
The whole time.
And then there was like Psychoanalyst Bro, who was just coming at Ben, saying he was brainwashing his sister, and how could he do this to her?
You gotta stop this, Ben. You gotta stop brainwashing all these girls.
Yeah, here's the speech where he's pretty much psychoanalyzes Ben and all his flaws.
Ben, you brainwash these girls way too much, man. To see my sister like that after 2 dates?
There's a lot of noise in here.
Yeah. I mean, I'll call it like it is, but you're put in a position of you're desired by a lot of girls, and psychologically, that all makes them, you know, want you. You've been on the other side a little bit. So to see our sister get a little more emotional than I would like, you know, and she's obviously starting to have real emotional feelings, but obviously I don't get the same read.
That was like a Kevin question. That's like that's impossible to follow.
Yeah,
what you said.
He lost me. I know that.
There is emotions involved.
Emotional feelings.
But it just seems like the brothers didn't like him.
You know,
they
didn't
like
him
from the get-go. But, I mean, is that really your plan? Like, hey, we're going to be on The Bachelor. We're really going to put this guy through the ringer? I mean, how is that going to help anybody's cause or anybody's situation? Your sister's already sold her soul to the devil. Now the devil's just coming over to the house to have some casserole. You got to be nice.
You got to give the devil his due, right?
Exactly right. You don't sit there and act all hard, because if you do, the Bachelor people are going to make you look terrible, which they did.
I felt bad for Mom, though, because she cracked under the pressure.
Did you, I don't blame her.
Did you see what happened?
She rubbed her eyes on a couple occasions. She grabbed at her Botox enhanced face.
Yes.
And then she just grabbed that bottle of Wev Clinko and took it to the neck.
Yeah. She grabbed the bottle.
Sergeant Slaughter couldn't stop her. He's trying to lunge and stop her.
She grabbed the bottle of champagne and the bottle and tipped it and started to take a pull off the champagne bottle. And her husband had to step in and go, one of these. we're on camera, and like pretty much pulled her hand down and made her put the bottle back down on the kitchen counter. She was all kind of liquored up at that point.
When they say mom hits the bottle, yeah, they mean it.
And then a poor Amanda with her two kids, she was sent home. And she
I
said,
never saw that coming, but you know what? She sat there and complained, like, why would you make me come up to L.A.? It's like, hey, girl, you're not from Boston, okay?
Right.
You had to drive up the 405.
It's 45 minutes from the Montage Laguna Beach where you were. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, quit acting all hard. Like, oh, my God, I had to come back up here. Okay, you didn't come up from Mazatlan.
So now it's down to the Magic Three. We've got Lauren B., Kayla, and JoJo.
And they're going for it, Ralph. I mean, they want it bad. It's going to get hot here down the stretch.
The girls are in it for all the right reasons, Pete.
Sure.
And they'd be loving her and all the four seasons.
See you next week, buddy.
All right, Popo's out.
The Bachelor Report is in the spot, so you don't have to watch.
About a half an hour away from your tickets to sold-out three-day passes to Coachella, the festival in the desert in April, and you get on the standby boarding list to see any band on the bill playing Coachella anywhere they play in the world in 2016. We'll tell you how to win. That is coming up in just a few minutes. All right, who's watching American Crime on ABC?
Me.
Kevin, you watching?
I have seen two episodes.
Oh, gotta catch up.
It might be the best show on TV.
Oh, it is.
It really, I mean, seriously, I know there's a lot of great TV. It may be the best thing going right now. It's magnificent. So I'm watching it with, what's her name?
Donna.
That's right. Watching it with my wife the other night. And this is a mini spoiler alert. There is there's a shooting that goes on, and the kid who does the shooting goes to his mom. And his mom's first instinct, once she puts the pieces together, because she can see the shooting on the news, on the television, and then she sees her kid with the gun. Her first instinct is, give me the gun, and I'll hide it for you. Okay?
Yep.
So she takes the gun and he hides it. Which is a perfectly understandable instinct because, Kevin, you tell me if I'm wrong, as a parent, your first thought is always, how can I protect my children?
Yeah, of course.
But if your kid shoots someone, is that the type of thing that you should be protecting them from being found out about? Would you hide a gun that was used in a murder to protect your kid? Or, as hard as it would be, would you say to your kid, look, you got to face the music on this. You can't run. It's going to get worse if you run. You've got to turn yourself in, and then we'll do the best thing we can to get you some justice in the courtroom. What do you do in that situation? I know it's a hard situation to put yourself in because it's never going to happen, thank God, to 99.999%. But if that happened to somebody in your family, would you protect them and try to hide them from the police if they had committed a murder?
Do you want the truth?
Yes.
Probably.
Really?
I think a lot of parents would.
Having said that, it's the wrong thing to do,
mm-hmm.
but I feel like I wouldn't have a choice, I think.
Really?
I think. I don't know. I mean, it's impossible to really tell, but...
Yeah, until you actually get to that situation. So you would advise others to turn their kids in, but
yes,
you...
Yes, everybody else should.
But you would protect your kid.
I feel like it would just be instinct, and you just would do it and then worry about it later.
Because you're not thinking rationally
at
that point. You're thinking completely emotionally and with your heart. You're not thinking with your head, which
right.
is all the reasons I mentioned that you need to, because it's going to be worse for the kid, because they're probably going to be found out anyway.
Right. Right, but, I mean, there has to be a little bit of doubt in your mind. Maybe if they're not found out, then, you know, it'll be better. Maybe you'll be helping some.
I don't know.
It's the wrong decision, but I'm just telling you it's the instinct.
Yeah, it's a tough, tough decision. Allie, you said you think most people would protect their kid. They would hide their kid. Even, and again, we're not talking about a rock through the neighbor's window. We're talking about you think most parents would hide a gun that they knew that their kid had killed someone with to prevent them from being arrested.
I feel like that maternal or paternal instinct kicks in, and your main reason for your child is that unconditional love, and you need to protect them at all costs. That's going to be your first reaction, is I need to protect this thing that I made, that I am supposed to nurture through all time. That's why I don't have a kid, because that's effed up.
Because murder.
So many answers in Allie's life end with because murder. So do you think you're sending the right message to your kid about taking responsibility for his actions?
That's a loaded question. Yes,
no,
I do, Bean.
No,
yes.
I'm asking because that's part of being a parent also, is showing a kid how to behave, how to handle himself in a bad situation.
Yeah, listen, I already gave you the answer. It's the wrong answer, and that's what I would probably do.
All right, what if it's not murder? And this is where I think it'd be fun to get into a phone topic with our Kevin and Bean listeners. What if it's a lesser crime and you get a chance to cover up for a friend or a family member? Would you do it, and have you done it? Because I bet our listeners have taken the blame or aided and abetted to try to help somebody not get caught with something.
Let's make it not a violent crime. How about that?
Yes.
Let's
make it fun.
Let's have a good time, everybody.
Kevin, you tell a story to get us started, because I've heard you tell in the past of a story where you were in this situation where you had a family member who said, dude, I need you to take this one for me.
Yeah, it was just a speeding ticket, though, but he was going like 102, and it was my brother, mm-hmm. and I didn't have anything on my record, and he had, many tickets, and he's like, I can't get another ticket.
I wonder how that guy got all those tickets.
so we switched seats, and I sat in the driver's seat.
And you took the ticket.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, were you nervous as hell sliding over there, by the way? Figured that somehow you were going to get in even more trouble because you did that?
I was scared out of my mind, but he was so frightened, I just thought, well, all right.
And then did you hold it over his head forever?
Still do.
Did he have to pay you like $5 a week for the rest of your life or something?
No, it was just a reaction. He said, I can't, and the panic on his face was crazy.
Aw.
So I guess I'm the bad one in every one of these stories.
I think that's a reasonable decision to make, Kevin, in that case.
Okay.
I mean, to me, that's a no harm, no foul. That's a speeding ticket, and it would have been terrible for him.
Right.
And it didn't hurt you.
Right.
I'm all right with that.
Okay.
I'll allow it.
All right, Bean's going to allow it. That's good news.
All right. What crimes have you covered up for friends and families? That's the topic on the table. Vicki, you hang on. We're going to talk to you first when we get back. Everybody else, 1-800-520-1067. Don't forget, as always, you can always text the Kevin and Bean Show, too, to the number 2-KROQ. That's 25767. Your call's next on K-Rock. Dude is bragging pretty hard for something that we've all done, by the way, which is be 7 years old. He's awfully pleased with himself, is what I'm saying. All right, we're talking about you took the rap for a crime. You helped cover up a friend or a family member's crime, and why? That's what we want to hear about at 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with Daniel. He's in Hollywood. He's on line 8. I think he's got a story of maybe regretting it afterwards. Daniel, welcome to the show. Thank you for calling. Thank you for holding on. What happened?
Good morning. Yeah, so in high school, I was a part of a graffiti crew, and one of my best friends tagged up the school pretty bad, to the point where it was almost $5,000 in damage.
Right.
For him, because he was on probation, and I got kicked out of school. I was arrested. I got a fine for that $5,000, and the rest is history.
Wow.
Wait, I'm sorry, your phone cut out for a second. So you admitted to doing it so that he wouldn't, and you ended up getting kicked out of school and fined $5,000?
Correct, yeah. He was on probation, so he would have went to jail for a long time if he got caught.
Wow, you are a good friend, man.
Damn, Daniel.
Yeah.
Damn, Daniel, so. Indeed. at least he paid you back the $5,000, right? You weren't on the hook for the money.
Oh, no. My mom ended up paying that since I was 7 years old.
Oh, my God. You got ripped off.
He did make me the godfather to his son, though, so.
He's a dick, though, Daniel.
He owes you more than that.
He does. He should give you that kid. All right. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Alan, please, in line 4, please. He's in Los Angeles. Alan F., I guess, is up first.
Hey, Alan.
Hi. How are you?
We are good. Thank you.
I'm calling because pretty much my sister one night got really drunk. She decided to go to her boyfriend's house, which was about 5 miles away. On the way there, she totaled her car and still drove it to her boyfriend's house.
Okay.
Didn't tell anyone. We leave town. We come back. Then that's when she tells us that what happened. So we tell her, report it stolen. That's the first idea we can come up with. And then we figured out that I would take the blame, saying that I called it in as stolen, even though I was in panic. And it wasn't stolen, and now we have the car. So when the police came, we had to explain the whole situation. And thank God they didn't get me for filing a false police report.
Okay, now hold on a second, Alan. I'm confused. Because your sister wasn't in any trouble for anything. She didn't get arrested or anything. She just drove drunk and crashed your car. So you guys just created a crime to get the car payment reimbursed, right?
No. She actually called it in as a stolen vehicle. And
you said you did.
you can't even keep your story straight with us. How are you going to keep it straight with the police? Alan, you are going to jail, my friend. All right. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. All right. Who do you like here, Kev? We've got time for a couple more, maybe.
Marco.
Let's talk to Marco. Line two, please. He's in Whittier. He's up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Marco.
How you doing?
Good, thank you. You covered up for who?
Is what you meant to say, but go ahead.
Oh, you're right there. Sorry.
Yes, and?
And
he was high and you took it for him?
Yeah, we took it for him and covered up for him. And later on, about a year or so later, he still ended up failing the urine test and got kicked out. But
well, he learned his lesson. That's good.
So nothing came back on you on that, though. You didn't get found out or anything like that.
No. We're all covered up. We did secretly.
All right. Thanks for the call. Appreciate that. Nice to have somebody to give to donate clean urine for you, though.
Sure.
I think everybody should have a friend like that.
Yeah. Agreed.
All right. Let's do one more. Let's try Regina, Anaheim, please. Line 5.
Hey, Regina.
Hi, guys.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You covered up for who?
My best friend that I've known all my life.
Okay, what did she do?
Well, her dad had just bought a brand new Lamborghini Diablo, and this was back in 2002. I was 22 years old, and she, you know, her parents were gone for the weekend, and I was spending the night at her house, and she decided to want to take her dad's car for a ride. And I told her, I said, "Well, do you know how to drive stick?" She says, Yeah, I do. No problem. I said, all right. So we took her dad's car for a ride, and we're joyriding down Mulholland Drive, you know, the Hollywood Hills. And we kind of took a curve, a curve a little bit too fast, and we slid and hit a tree.
Sweet.
And so she was panicking, and she's like, oh, my God, my dad's going to take away my credit cards and my money and this and that. Oh, my God. And then she's like, can you take the blame? Please, just tell my dad you were driving. I said, Priscilla, I don't want to do this. It's a lie. I was raised Catholic. I was raised not to lie, but whatever. I guess I'll take the blame. So I took the blame for it, and it costed my mom some money, but even till this day, her dad doesn't know the truth.
Until this phone call.
Probably, if he's listening to me. Yeah.
Oh, the Catholic guilt, though. How are you dealing with that?
Well, my mom, of course, you know, my mom knows the truth, but my mom was like, oh, because my mom is, like, really religious, and she's like...
Well, I have bad news for you, Regina. Jesus also knows the truth. You haven't heard the end of this story.
Thank you for calling. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5 minutes till 9.
Every day this week, just after 9 o'clock, we are giving away tickets to a sold-out 3-day passes for Coachella, you guys. Remember yesterday, Ali Roki? How fun was that?
So good. I want that game to be every game for all things always.
I don't think that's necessary.
That may be overkill.
Yes, no, it is an overkill.
Ali singing Guns N' Roses songs yesterday was amazing. Well, today we are looking for Ice Cube fans. If you're a fan of The Cube, we want to hear from you right now at 1-800-520-1067. You will have to earn your way into Coachella, and you'll be on the standby boarding list to see any band anywhere in the world. Call now, 1-800-520-1067. All right, Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday. What's going on?
I got to get out of here, get on a plane to Portland.
Really? Why?
Yeah, because I have to defend a Girl Scout.
You have to defend a Girl Scout?
Yes, my favorite Girl Scout ever, and I love her so much.
Okay.
In a completely platonic mentor type way. But she's a genius and she's in trouble and she needs my help, so I have to get on a plane.
Okay, what's the problem?
She is, you know what the motto of the Girl Scouts is?
Yeah, live long and it's prosper.
She's a bitch.
I don't think it's she's a bitch or live long and prosper. Okay, sorry.
It's not be prepared, that's the Boy Scouts, right?
Right. But a scout should be I forget, but it's something like...
why would you bring it up if you forgot?
Gold and silver and gold.
Right.
One is silver and the other is gold. Make new friends,
no,
but keep the old.
That's different.
We sang that at Brownie Camp.
That's a song, but it's not the motto. It's something about be resourceful and wise and forgiving, be helpful and peaceful each day. Be kind and love all your neighbors and have a good thing to say.
That's a book.
Yeah, that's a lot.
I don't know what to memorize.
Why
be omnipresent and flatulent.
Are you sure about all of that?
No, oh, no, but I'm just saying the qualities that you want in a Girl Scout is what this young lady has, and she should be defended, not picked on and persecuted for her choices.
All right, is she picked on, persecuted, and pilloried? Is she all of those things?
She's all those things. She's a young lady in Portland, Oregon, who is selling her Girl Scout cookies, and she and her aunt set up shop outside a marijuana dispensary in Portland, Oregon.
Genius!
With a sign that read, "Satisfy your munchies."
Nice. Hell yeah.
What do you think?
USA! USA! USA!
What do you think happened to her supply of cookies?
She sold out, and I hope got a merit badge for resourcefulness.
Yes. Sold out in mere minutes.
Yep. Genius.
She says she was hoping to raise enough money to send herself to horse camp this summer. She wants to.
Horse camp? That is
horse.
Awful.
Horse.
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 Oh.
Yeah. So she was successful. However, the local Girl Scout Council.
Oh, here we go.
Here we go, judgy.
Says that if a minor cannot enter a business unaccompanied by an adult, they should not be selling cookies outside of it.
Why?
Well, she wasn't in the business. She was on a public sidewalk.
But because of the business that she was set up in front of, she's saying if you can't go in there unaccompanied,
that's ridiculous.
You shouldn't be selling cookies outside. That also takes porn movies out of porn theaters out of the equation, which I know when I come out, I'm hankering for a thin mint. I need to replenish my energies. I'm just saying this girl should be applauded.
Agreed.
For her wisdom and her smart business acumen, and not persecuted, pilloried, and picked on for her wise choices. And Girl Scouts, get your S together.
The Girl Scout motto is be prepared.
There you go.
And who's better prepared than someone that is super high?
And also be omnipresent and flatulent.
Lower town.
Yeah. So she was all good things Scout. And we want to...
She's the best. I don't know why they would...
Salute her. She is the Kevin and Bean Girl of the Morning.
Is this
a thing we do, and
okay,
we love it, and
all right,
congratulations to her.
She's the Girl of the Morning.
In the long tradition of Girls of the Morning.
She's Kevin and Bean's Girl of the Morning Angel. Superman v. Batman. Batman v. Superman. Or verse, if you're beer mug.
Right. How does this look to you, Ralph?
I am.
I'm afeard.
Same.
I'm dubious.
Yeah.
I'm dubious, but hopeful, as I am most times I go to see a Zack Snyder film.
Did you have any problem, refresh my memory, on Ben Affleck being picked to play The Dark Knight?
He would not have been my choice.
Okay. Is it possible he'll be good? Is that your primary concern?
I think he'll be a fine
movie?
Batman.
Okay.
My concern is how he's going to be as Bruce Wayne. That's my concern.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Batman's the easy part. You put on the suit.
And you mumble.
And you mumble and you throw your fists around and you drive the cool car. That's the easy part. Bruce Wayne is the hard part.
Interesting.
Christian Bale was an awesome Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, he was.
Michael Keaton was a great Bruce Wayne. Val Kilmer even was a great Bruce Wayne. Bruce Wayne is the hard part.
Yeah.
I just see Ben clenching his teeth a lot and doing a lot of... It's like Jack Klugman in Quincy. Just like,
it's a great reference.
And visually, of course, Zack Snyder is a master of visuals. It looks like great things blow up, louds, you know, stuff like that.
Kevin, so I'll be in.
Kevin will be in. But I'm dubious.
Yes.
And now I'm concerned because they announced today that Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice is 2.5 hours long.
Why?
I think that's more typical than not now. Seems like all movies are too long.
That's so long.
But can all of that going on for 2.5 hours, can that bode well?
It's not ideal.
Let me give you an example. That's 45 minutes longer than Deadpool.
Yeah.
Didn't Deadpool just hit that sweet spot of like, oh, yeah, perfect.
It ended about the right time.
I feel this is it. I'm at the tail end, and you really brought the story home, and boom, now we all go out with a smile. So add a 45-minute explosion onto that film.
Just one explosion
just one
for
45
minutes?
45 minutes.
I'm in.
Yeah. Kevin's perfect film. So that happened.
All right.
And then Jesse Eisenberg also.
Yeah.
He's Lex Luthor, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. So nice to meet you. Clark Kent, Bruce Wayne, putting you together, don't you know? That's what I like to do. Psychotic's a three-syllable word for ideas that are too big for tiny little minds.
Just concerned. I'm concerned. That's all I'm saying. I'm concerned.
Same.
You're not concerned.
I am.
You're not concerned, Paul Blart, mall cop.
How
goer.
Dare you?
What are you concerned about? You afraid Superman might not run into a sheet of glass and fall down? Oh. You're not concerned.
It's not going to be that good.
Today's celebrity birthdays, we're late. Just look them up. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Oh, nothing's better than Coachella. 3 days in the desert to see hundreds of bands, including this year Guns N' Roses and LCD Sound System. And is it Calvin Harris? Is that
yep.
he's doing this Sunday,
Sunday
night?
Sunday night, yeah.
And, of course, Ice Cube is promising the performance of a lifetime. He is dropping hints that he may bring some NWA friends out. It could be awesome. But we love the Cube, and if you do too, I'm glad you're on the phone at 1-800-520-1067 because we want to give you some passes to see Coachella this week, this year, and also be on the standby boarding list to see whoever you want on the bill anywhere in the world. This game is called This game is called Ice Ice Movies.
Yo, Cam B.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let's kick
God.
It. Ice Ice Movies. Ice Ice Movies. All right, stop. Turn it up and listen. Cube is back and you want to go see him. We play a movie clip that you know. You get it right, you go to the show. Will you be on top? Yo, let's find out. Come on, y'all, let's scream and shout. Ice, Ice Movies.
See? Ice, Ice Movies.
Ice, Ice Movies.
Yay, yay.
Yay, yay, indeed. So wow. Ice Cube, not only a very talented rapper and musician, also a very successful and popular actor. We'll be playing clips from Ice Cube movies. All you have to do is identify the film by its name, and you go into the drawing to win the prize. Who's our first contestant?
We have Richard in Glendora. Hi, Richard.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Richard, I hope you're a fan of Ice Cube's movies. He's got a lot of very funny films. So we're going to play a clip, and you tell us what film it is, okay?
Sounds good.
Here we go.
You want to borrow my car? Hell no! Come on. Well, let me borrow a joint. You need to borrow a job with your broke ass. Always trying to smoke up somebody's Craig.
Bye, Felicia.
Classic. What movie is that?
That'd be Friday.
Friday. Yeah! Nicely done.
Well done, sir. You're in the drawing. Hang on.
All right, let's go to Javier in Sylmar. Hi.
Hey, what's up, man?
Ice Ice Movies is what's up. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready, man. I'm nervous. Let's do it.
Here's your movie.
Doughboy was living by the laws of the street.
You looking at? We got a problem here. We got a problem.
Can we have one night where there ain't no fight, nobody gets shot?
It's hard to be a saint in South Central LA.
Oh, what a classic. Javier, what film was that, please?
Was that Boys in the Hood?
Yes,
it was.
It was.
Because the boys in the hood are always hard.
Remember that?
No, keep going.
Okay.
And by the way, that was the movie where you go, my God, Ice Cube, the guy from NWA, is a phenomenal actor. Remember how great he was in that
Yeah,
movie?
He's good in all of his movies, yeah. I think. All right, let's go to Martin in San Gabriel. Hi, Martin.
Hey, what's up?
No pressure, but everybody's gotten him so far.
All right,
you ready? Here we go.
You are here simply because you look young. You some Justin Bieber, Miley Cyrus-looking motherfucker. Sassy. I know what you're thinking. Angry black captain. It ain't nothing but a stupid stereotype. Well, guess what, motherfucker? I'm black. And I work my ass off to be the captain.
Nice. Martin, what film, please?
21 Jump Street.
Yes,
you're
it
correct.
Is. All right.
All right.
Nicely done.
Wow, Ice Cube fans listening.
Let's go to Vanessa in Long Beach. Hi, Vanessa.
Hi, guys.
You ready for your movie?
Yes, I am.
Here you go. Good luck.
Do we need, like, goggles or earplugs or anything like that?
No. Usually the bad guys don't give us time to put on all that kind of stuff.
Okay, right. Freeze! How do you say freeze?
Freeze.
Okay. You know what it is? You don't move your top lip that much. I move my top lip so it doesn't come out stern.
What's the film, please, Vanessa?
Ride Along.
That sure
correct.
Is.
Correct.
Wow. Man. 4 for 4, you guys.
All right, let's go to Matt in Tarzana. Hi, Matt.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, thank you.
Don't screw this up, Matt.
Oh, I just might if you played them all, but go on.
All right, here you go.
Kevin, what that boy name?
I done told you 4 times. That's Ricky.
Ricky! Ricky! What the hell you think you doing over there?
I'm just trying to get them clean like them Gillette commercials, you know?
See, that's the problem with y'all today. Y'all don't know nothing.
All right. Gillette's a nice hint there, Matt. What do you think?
Ride Along 2?
No, I'm sorry. That was Barbershop is what we were looking for. Ice Cube in Barbershop. Yeah. All right, let's go out on a winner, though. How about one more?
Let's go to Juan in Menifee. Hey, Juan.
Hey, how's it going? Yay, yay.
Yay, yay to you. All right, we're playing Ice Movies. What Ice Cube film is this? Listen up.
We decided to drive.
I have to pee.
You do not have to pee.
I'm sure the carpet is absorbent. Here it comes.
Incoming! Incoming!
Yo, how's it going with the little brat?
Open up.
You just using us to suck up to our mom.
What were you doing?
All right, what movie
that
is that?
Be Ride Along.
I'm sorry.
Nope, that's Are We There Yet? So let's do another one so we can go out on a
I feel like we're hurt. We're in trouble now. I feel like we're going to regret this. I feel like this is going to be a classic. Why take one call?
Let's try. I believe in Anthony.
But we were so strong at the beginning.
Right, but I believe that Anthony is going to bring it home. Anthony, are you ready?
Hello?
Are you still confident in Anthony, are you?
No. All right, here's your... It's your movie, Anthony. Good luck.
It's a gold. Saddam stole it from the sheiks. I had no problem stealing it from Saddam.
We can't take you to the Iranian border.
Then we don't have a deal.
We just saved your life.
And we saved yours.
We can help these people first, and then we'll be on our way.
All right.
Anthony, it's on you, buddy.
Gulf War? Benjamin?
No. I'm sorry. No, we were looking for Three Kings this time around. Ice Cube's tremendous movie, Three Kings, with George Clooney. Great film. Thank you for playing. Anyway, Richard, Javier, Martin, and Vanessa all trying to win tickets to all 3 days of Coachella and in the standby boarding list to see any band anywhere in the world. There's only one winner, though. Who's it going to be?
Martin. Yay!
Martin.
All right.
Congratulations.
Thank you. West Side Till I Die.
Right?
Yeah. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:37.
And then coming up...
what do you got?
Just showbiz.
On March 3rd, it's the B.C. Butcher premiere.
What's that?
Underground Women Presents, presenting directors, women directors and everything.
What?
At the Egyptian Theater.
Come on.
And tickets are now... available for Fandango and Egyptian Theater Box Office. And it starts at 6 o'clock for the red carpet, but you can get tickets to go. And Kill My Croquette's going to play, The Ugly Kids. And B.C. Butchers has starring Cato Kaelin and a bunch of cave women.
What?
Check it out. It's comedy slash.
What's comedy
Check
slash?
It out March 3rd at the Egyptian.
Slash something?
Slash something.
Comedy slash horror?
Go back to Cato Kaelin and the cave women.
And a bunch of cave women.
Is that a band, or what are we listening to here?
I'm sure it's Cato Kaelin and some actual women from caves.
I'm very confused by that, Rodney. I'm sorry. All right, well, let's see what else is going on in the world of showbiz with our friend Ralph Garman here on a Tuesday morning.
Damn, Daniel.
Damn, Daniel.
Picking it back with the white Vans. Damn, Daniel. Damn. The internet blows, right?
Or it's great.
Really?
Either way.
Really?
It creates
a lot.
Depends
on who's using it.
Of time wasters.
It's pictures of a guy named Daniel. Walking around, Kevin.
Yeah, I'm not saying that's necessarily the best use.
Internet's a weird thing. Damn, Daniel. Anyway.
So you love it?
That voice belongs to Josh Holes, I believe his name is. Joshua Holes?
Sure.
H-O-L-Z?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He's in a world of hurt right now.
Uh-oh.
He got pranked. Here's the best problem with fame, people. Puts a big target on your back. He was pranked when law enforcement officials were called at 1 a.m. in Riverside, California. And the caller told 911 that a boy had shot his mom in the head with an AK-47.
Oh my God. Jeez.
Well, as you can imagine, SWAT turned out in full force. But then they cleared the scene and determined no one at the house was involved. So the Daniel creator was a victim of swatting, as it's called, and the cops responded to an alleged shooting. So hope it wasn't Daniel. Hope that Daniel didn't call. Because then he'd have to get on the phone and say, "Damn, Daniel, why'd you call the cops? Come to my house, Daniel. Damn."
You missed Allie first thing this morning talking about how attractive Daniel is.
Just saying, if I was in high school.
My name's Chris Hansen.
I'd like to read to you some of these emails,
Allie, that you've written.
I don't want any
lemonade. Are you damn Daniel 39? Why don't you have one of those sugar cookies?
Just saying, the kids.
I can't control my horny level.
Some fruit punch. Did you, in fact, write this?
Did you bring condoms with you?
Well, Allie, did you?
No, I didn't. I just said, if I was in high school, damn, Daniel.
Would you get naked?
If I was in high school.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how old Daniel is, creepy lady, but...
he's a teenager, and it's gross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm horny for you.
Well, thank you,
shouldn't write those
Chris.
Emails, then, if that's the case.
Right?
Is that a yes?
No.
She really is she-bean, isn't she?
Shut up!
It will be nice. I think you will love it.
She's she-creepy. She's sheepy.
I cannot believe that I'm actually thinking about blanking your blank.
Right?
Right?
Damn, Daniel. Kesha is getting all kinds of moral and financial support from people. Maybe some you would not expect. Court did rule she couldn't back out of her contract with Sony Music. And now Taylor Swift, according to RollingStone.com, has donated $250,000 to Kesha's cause to, in her words, help with her financial needs during this trying time. Lady Gaga, Lorde, Lily Allen, Kelly Clarkson, and others have also tweeted their good wishes. But so far, only Taylor has actually opened up her checkbook. I guess she figures if Kesha makes more music, it just makes her look better. So she needs to keep her in business. Poor Kesha. Here's my thing about Kesha.
Yeah, please tell me.
Here's my take on the whole thing.
Because I'm very troubled by this story, because you don't know what's true and what's not. I mean, people are automatically jumping on Kesha's side, as am I, by the way, because I tend to give the victim the benefit of the doubt. But we really don't know what happened and what didn't happen.
No, we don't. And if this isn't true, it's a heinous thing to accuse someone of. However, I tend, like you, to believe the victim, and I think she probably would not go there if there wasn't somewhere to go. But what perplexes me is Sony has given her the ability to make other music. They're not keeping her from making music, and she doesn't have to work with this guy again, ever. But Kesha's saying she needs to out because Sony won't promote her music enough, and she needs to be promoted by a high-powered label. That's an assumption on her part.
I think, and I could be wrong because this is a very complicated case, but
yes,
I think two things are going on. One is she feels like she went to Sony early in this drama and said, here's what happened. And she found no quarter. No one was on her side. She feels like she has a bad relationship with the label because she couldn't find anyone to back her play on this case against Luke. Everybody was siding with the producer and no one was on her side. So she doesn't want to work with Sony at all. And I also think that the other half of this is, yeah, Dr. Luke, her producer, said, you don't have to work with me, but you are signed to a contract with my label, my imprint on Sony. Your records are going to come out on that label, so I'll still make money, as I should, off of your next record, because I put all this money into promoting you in the past.
I see what you're saying.
So I think those are the two kind of hiccups right now with Kesha. So she's in a bad spot.
Yes. Agreed.
Wow. That is a very savvy analysis right there.
Yeah, it is. I just feel like there's two issues. In fact, she wants to get away from this guy, and if he is the scumbag that she describes him to be, then that makes perfect sense. But also seems like she's trying to, in some other way, protect or perpetuate her music career on one side, which would seem to be I can see why she obviously that's her livelihood. She wants to maintain that. But it seems like the priority would be, wouldn't you think, just getting away from this guy and not having to have any more interaction with him?
Yeah, I would think so, too. I would think so, too. But
if that's
the
case, why not charge him civilly or even criminally for what he's done and make him pay that way? Is there a statute of limitations deal on this?
No, I don't think so. But rape is hard to prove, as you know. And she didn't go to the police afterwards. I mean, she's got a lot of things against her.
The waters are muddy. The waters are muddy.
Yeah, but on record, I believe in 2011.
She made a record about it? That's out of line, I think.
On record, under oath, saying nothing happened back in 2011.
Oh. And what's that about?
It's not good.
That doesn't help her cause at all, does it?
No.
Yeah, it's very messy.
Yeah. It just seemed like if it was a straightforward assault or sexual assault case, I would feel more inclined to back her play 100%, but the fact she's folding in some like business aspects of it on the back end of the deal just makes me...
It is messy.
It raises questions for me, that's all.
I want it to be settled, for everybody to be happy, and for there to be no new Kesha music.
Right, well, can't Taylor Swift, doesn't she have like $40,000 billion? Can't she just cut her off a piece of
checks? A lot of money.
Just go be a barista or something. Go be a very rich barista and leave us all alone, Kesha.
I talk about...
Remember that song?
Oh, yeah.
Remember Kevin's video for that song?
Genius.
Oh, we got to put that back up with all the Kesha news, right?
We need Kevin
in a wig and a dress and makeup.
That was dead sexy.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's what I'm talking about.
Damn, Daniel.
They're a duet.
Remix.
You just created a hit right on the spot.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays. See, this is the power I wield. Earlier this morning, I wished a happy birthday to L.A. Lakers point guard D'Angelo Russell, who's 20 years old today. And I said, why don't they just start the guy and let him play instead of the old man gift parade we've been watching all year long, right?
Right.
And then I go in the other room and Dave said, yesterday they announced he's going to be starting.
Yeah, the next 25 games, yeah.
So they knew you were going to say that ahead of
time? My power reaches back into the past. I can change the future by going back into the past with my power.
That's pretty cool.
Thanks.
That's a CW show.
Right. Dakota Fanning's 22. Emily Blunt is 33 years old today. Aziz Ansari celebrates his 33rd birthday. Josh Gad, who we all love on this show.
So much.
Without exception, is 35 years old today. Niecy Nash, who until today Bean thought was a real housewife, which is disturbing on certain
levels. She goes by a different name. She uses Nene Leakes on the reality show, and then for her acting work, she goes
very
by Niecy
different,
Nash.
Very different people.
Different people.
I was impressed
different
with.
People. Different people.
It's like a persona, a character. She has a character that she plays on that show.
No? Wrong.
I'm saying she's so talented she's able to play both of those roles convincingly.
Different people.
Nope.
And you've seen Niecy Nash. You watched her. You watched Niecy Nash. You love her work, and you also saw Nene Leakes on The Celebrity Apprentice because we were talking about that show when it was on.
They are. It's uncanny how different she is, but she's able to pull them both off because she's just that talented.
And Damon John from Shark Tank is great on that show. He is 47 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean show. We're going to recap the People versus O.J. Simpson. We have thanks for that tweet, Bean. We have Adam Carolla's on the program and Eric Andre in studio talking about Man Seeking Woman. That's tomorrow morning on all new Kevin and Bean.